Hey there, it's Joel Radio. Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm Joel. Got Corey today with me. How you doing?
Yo, 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 yo.
We got World Cup fever.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it on Corey. The
nothing
obvious
like,
signs are there.
Nothing like coming from behind to lose and still win.
Yeah, it's great. Nothing like international soccer to give you rules that you must explain for 20 minutes. But, you know, if it would have been a goal differential thing,
yeah,
everyone would have. I mean, it ultimately
life.
Was a goal differential thing, but if it would have been a goal differential thing that cost the U.S.
Sure.
Its spot in the next round, people would have went crazy. Like, right now, there's housewives in Portugal going, how come we're not
right.
going more? So, anyway, welcome in. Joel Radio.
Just picturing a Portugal housewife.
Well, you know, they probably, maybe soccer's is enough into their culture.
I think they get how
where they
works.
Don't have to explain goal differential and how the brackets work and the group play and all that garbage.
Unlike America.
Where everything must be explained
well,
every minute.
Well, have you noticed now we're now midway, as we record this, midway through the World Cup?
Yes.
The United States has just advanced. We're
yes.
Through the, we're almost through the group stage.
Yes.
There's a couple group stage games left. And the United States has advanced to the round of 16.
Yes.
Where they will probably likely get stomped by Belgium. But
the nefarious Belgium.
That's the problem. I have.
Our rivals.
Germany, I can build some nice. There's a good reason to not like Germany.
Yeah.
They gave us two very good reasons in the 20th century.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's Germany. A lovely country that I enjoyed visiting.
Right.
But please.
Yeah.
But Belgium, it's a little harder. The land of, you know, delicious craft beer and waffles. It's
yeah.
hard to get.
Belgium is, yeah.
The Liège
not,
waffle.
Belgium is not known for being.
No.
Now, what was Belgium in? Did Hitler just run over Belgium on his way to France? Or what? How did
I think
that work?
Belgium was just.
They
yeah.
just
well,
kind of fell.
Belgium's
and
wedged between France and Germany.
Yeah.
So
I think they just kind of rolled over
yeah,
and whatever. So, you know, maybe they're. Maybe they are dicks.
They're
maybe.
In a very precarious position
sure,
between
yeah.
France and Germany, and they're
yeah.
a little French and a little German.
All right.
So the
well,
beer's good and the food's good.
Well,
it's a good, you know, it's a good mix.
Well, we will know more about Belgium as the U.S. plays them and probably loses, but who knows?
Well, so people are going crazy with World Cup
yeah,
mania.
Yeah, be Corey is more a soccer fan than I am.
Yeah, I've been but, since the World Cup in 1994 when
yeah.
it was played in the U.S. at. The Pontiac Silverdome,
yeah.
which is now a rotting, decayed husk, which is being auctioned. The you know,
yeah.
you can buy the plumbing.
Yes,
at the
they're selling off every piece of it
right.
piecemeal because
you there's still like seats and the thing held 70,000 seats.
Yeah, so there's a lot of seats.
So
and the
or
roof
80,000. Right
when the roof so completely collapsed, the current owner just said, "Yeah, fuck it, we'll just liquidate it."
Some Greek guys bought
yeah.
it, and they were going to convert it into a soccer stadium.
Yeah,
and they
there were
played,
a lot of plans.
They played like. A couple international friendlies in there or something like a
like recently like in the last
in the
decade
last
say
few years
yeah.
yeah like
well they for a long time operated well I think they leased out the parking lot basically but you know there was a drive-in there
yeah, right.
that I went to you know more than a couple times
right
which was great because there's not a lot of drive-in theaters and granted it was makeshift but they put up
well
three big screens and you went in there and you know you
Pontiac
watched you
is,
paid $10 you got to see two movies
yeah.
And you could make out with your girl or whatever you wanted to do.
Well,
and
Pontiac's
a
weird thing because it's here in the Detroit metro area. We live in Oakland County. Joel's in the southern edge of Oakland County.
Southeast
and I'm
Oakland
in
County.
The northern center of.
You're in the center. The
yeah.
north is like Holly and places like that.
Is it going
you forget
that far?
Those are Oakland County, but yeah, Oakland County goes way north.
All right. Well, I'm in the middle of Oakland,
yeah.
which is an
you're
affluent
in the middle,
community,
yeah.
pretty much. It's a. Oakland County is a pretty affluent county,
it
and,
is,
and
yes.
at one point was third wealthiest in the country. I don't think it's still that,
no,
but it's pretty.
Not.
It's in pretty good standing.
For this area, anyway.
It's in
is.
A good, even nationally, it's in pretty good
yeah.
standing. And Pontiac is like a ghetto, a northern ghetto. It's
well,
a
I think
good,
it's the county seat, so all of the county business
right.
is done in Pontiac.
But it's a good 30 miles north of Detroit.
It is, yeah.
And parts of it are just as cracked out as Detroit.
Yeah, it's a weird
so
thing for
it's
that
a weird
to develop
little
there,
pocket,
yeah.
and then. Then you get back into the, and then you're in almost in
yeah,
the.
Yeah, Pontiac is kind of surrounded by bougie suburbs on all sides,
mm-hmm.
but the middle is sort of this urban ghetto.
Right.
which is weird.
And then there's some dance clubs downtown. But like,
right, yeah.
You know,
they
right.
have some nightlife stuff, but not. It's a lot like downtown Detroit in that people go there for nightlife and entertainment, but actually few people work there, few people live there.
It kind of gets hot once in a while. Yeah. In the 90s, it was popular for a while, and now I don't really know. But the Pontiac Silverdome is what was out there where the Lions used to play.
Yeah.
Built in the 70s, torn down already. And there you go. And once held World Cup games.
Yeah.
Featuring the U.S.
So that got you into it. I'm keeping you on track.
When the World Cup
you got into soccer because World Cup was in 94.
And I think a lot of, you know, people
Detroit.
Are of our kids of our generation. Because
sure.
now
well,
I'm
I played
old.
Soccer when I was a kid, but that was only until
right.
like 83 or something. You know,
I played soccer till about middle school when everybody was faster.
Yeah.
About eighth grade.
Right.
About seventh, eighth grade, I went, I can't keep
But up. You were a defenseman anyway, right?
I played defense.
That's what I was, too. That was the fast kids went on were the strikers and the midfielders, and I was the fat kid on defense.
My dad, I played, left back. And
I believe in the season, I think it might, maybe I played more than one season, but the one season I can remember, I believe I kicked the ball once in a competitive game. I believe I actually physically touched the ball one time.
I would get a hold of the ball.
Yeah.
And I would kick other guys, but I would never
right.
like get up front and score. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Because the defense, anyway, the idea is you would just see the ball and you would kick it. I think I was coached, you know, you just kick it as hard as you can from towards the other team's goal. You didn't really try to make.
Was not a.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't try to make a run with it because you were too slow.
Well, we had a brilliant strategy on our team when my dad coached.
Okay.
My dad somehow never played soccer.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what is your dad?
You know, like all the dads.
Yeah, right. Some dad has
no,
to volunteer.
My dad played basketball and football.
Okay.
There was always some dad. And I think Ryan Sill's mom was the assistant coach. And their strategy was kick the ball to Danny because he was our fastest
right,
kid.
Okay, yeah. So
and
absolutely.
Danny would then just run down and try and score.
Well, we had some real wops in my neighborhood.
Oh.
So we had some guys who could go. You know,
right.
we had some dads who could.
Some tricky back footed
dingers.
Yeah,
they could do to all the tricks and all that stuff. So, you know, we had some guys.
There was always the one kid that could juggle and bounce the ball behind his head and all that stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think the coaching thing to me was just. If the ball came to you, just boot it as hard as you can in the other direction. Like, there was no, like, hey, Joel, we want you to dribble this ball up through midfield and then try to hit somebody in stride.
No.
There was none of that shit. It was just like.
We're going to play a four.
Kick the ball the other
play
way.
A 4-3-2.
Yeah.
That's not enough. 4-3-2-1.
Yeah,
we're going to have a. All right, we're going to play the 4-4-2 diamond. And we're going to have the center half.
But it was so I remember standing around and, like, talking to, like, the other team's forwards while I was out on the field. Like, the guys would just come up and, like, hey, what's up? And we'd sit there and talk. And then the ball would come to us and we'd run and kick it away. And then we'd go back to talking. It was not.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not that much fun to play. Soccer.
I was a little bit. You know, bigger. I was
right. Well,
so,
when you played in those leagues, though, like I would play in a league where it was like kids of like 3 year differences. So, I think I was probably the youngest kid too. You know, like there would be guys. You know, say if it was nine, it would be like 9, 10, 11. And if you were nine, it's like, well, you just sucked, and you know, you got to play a quarter or whatever, a half, and then you know, you sat the rest of the time.
Well, my dad would say, Corey, look, just there's a spot between the shin pads.
Yeah.
Put your cleat there. And I was a little dirty. I would knock kids over.
Okay, well, that's good.
Kick them a little bit.
That's
rough
good.
Them up.
Do you remember how many games your team won?
We were undefeated.
Oh, you motherfucker.
And the one championship trophy I own is the 1985.
Really?
The Huntington Woods Tigers.
Wow, look at you.
Pee Wee
I had
soccer
no
team.
Idea. Yeah, how many goals did you score?
I scored zero goals.
Okay, good. Yeah, at least I don't feel so bad. I
was the defender.
I got a participation trophy.
Yeah,
I got something. I think my team might have won one game.
Our strategy of kick it to Danny was very successful.
Yeah, my competitive sports, I was not. I think I was on a very good t-ball team at one point, but I was probably six. And, I was like probably 6, 7, and 8, and my brother was one of the 8-year-olds, and those guys were hitting home runs every minute. So
I think
that team was good.
I was okay, I guess, at soccer, but not. Anything
yeah, me,
good?
Me neither. Yeah.
And I was okay at volleyball.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I was,
play,
okay
like,
I was okay at volleyball. I was okay.
I wasn't. I was never tall.
Sure.
So that would you know.
Well,
so,
you know what I could do in volleyball? I could serve.
Sure.
And a lot of guys couldn't serve. They couldn't get it over the net. You know, not like I could spike it. So short. But I could do volleyball.
And I could set. No,
actually, my best sport, which really didn't have a real league, but we had intramurals, mm-hmm. was floor hockey. I was a floor hockey captain.
Floor hockey.
And I was, I think, I might have been the leading scorer in the intramural floor hockey league in like the fifth grade.
Floor hockey. I wonder if kids still play floor hockey.
Yeah, I think so. And I was great. Now, floor hockey, again, no skates. You know, a plastic puck or a rubber puck.
Rubber puck, and you
on like
around
a gym floor. Yeah. And I could stick handle. Right. I could pass. I'm a left-handed shot in hockey. And I think I could probably play really good floor hockey right now. Like, if you put me with, like, guys my age in floor hockey, I think I'd be very good. I honestly
Let's start the floor hockey
saying,
league.
Like, I'm not saying I could go play with, like, if you took guys that played in the NHL and put them on floor hockey, but average guys who are
well,
not
we play a
athletes,
lot of we play street hockey.
I think you, I could beat people in floor hockey.
Somebody
today,
had a net.
So. Yeah. We did that in the street too. But I was a really good floor hockey player.
Now there you go.
I was the captain of the team. It was Fregamenny's Frogs. That was the name of our team. This might have even been as late as the eighth grade. Now that I think about it.
Fregamenny's Frogs.
Yeah, I made jerseys that I painted myself.
Oh, the Fregamenny's.
Yeah,
oh,
and then
man.
We were great. So that was the one sport I was good at.
I was horrible at Little League.
At Little League, yeah.
Oh, at baseball?
Oh, I never tried to play any. Like, when the ball left the tee, you know, once they started throwing the ball, I was out of baseball.
Any attempt at that was miserable.
And then I wrestled in high school.
Right.
Which was bad for at least the first couple years.
Yeah.
I think the freshman year, I didn't win any matches. And then my sophomore year, I probably won, like, a couple matches. And then when I was a junior, they used to let me wrestle JV, and I could beat the JV guy's ass because a lot of those guys were freshmen. So I think I might have won 500 as a junior. But and then the few varsity matches, they would go like, we don't have a guy at 185. You're going to move you up. And I was like 155. So they'd move me up 2 weight classes, and then guys would just stuff me. Like
just bust your hump.
I think a guy beat me in like 10 seconds once. He was like third place in the state the year before.
There's that horrible,
and he just crushed me.
There's that horrible
outweighed
realization.
Outweighed me by 20 pounds. And
that horrible
it.
Realization when you're a kid, when you're like in high school, that people have just eclipsed you in every way. Right?
Like, well, I mean, I was smart. I mean, the thing was, I wasn't, you know, it would be a thing where they would go like, well, if you're not good enough to win your weight class, you'd have to move up a weight class because they wouldn't have a guy to compete at that weight. So the shittier guy went to the higher weight class. That's how that went. So when I wrestled guys my own size, I was okay. I'm not making this up, Corey. You know, I pinned, I believe, 3 black guys.
Wow. Well, there was the day.
I think I pinned about 3 black guys in high school in wrestling.
There was the day.
That's pretty good.
That I went to Roscoe's Arcade in Detroit. And I beat 5 Chaldeans in a row on Street Fighter.
Same thing.
Great moments in historic achievement.
That counts.
Athletic achievement.
But no, we would take on Mount Clemens or Centerline.
Yeah.
And then have these black guys.
Ooh, watch out for Centerline.
We'd go in there. And these
dangerous.
Guys, these guys look like they walked out of like the NFL draft. Mm. These guys look like Barry Sanders or Billy Sims or something.
Right.
And these guys would come in, and they had great physiques, but they had no technique.
Well,
I wasn't like real strong or anything, but it's like I had good technique, you know.
Well, I'd remember like
I had no wind.
I remember in high school our basketball team.
Yeah,
you'd go to the games and like we'd be good enough. We'd beat Andover and we'd beat Groves.
Sure,
you know maybe Seaholm, whatever.
Yeah,
and
this is Berkeley High.
Yeah, all these Ferndale, whatever these schools.
Sure.
And then we get in the playoffs, and I remember one year we played like Denby.
What is
Denby? Or no, Pershing.
That's from Detroit.
I think it was Pershing.
Pershing will fuck you up. Yeah.
Pershing
will fuck up.
Destroyed us.
Pershing will beat the Pistons today. Pershing is some bad motherfucker.
Because he's like the Detroit. Yeah. There's like DPL teams like Denby and Pershing.
Yes.
And what's the one that Eddie Murphy had on his?
Mumford.
Yeah. Some of these schools are gone now.
Yeah, I know they are. But I think my parents, they were Osborne, my parents.
Yeah, it was the Pershing Doughboys.
I think Osborne's gone now. Yeah.
And the Doughboys beat the shit out of our. Like, you get excited.
Right,
like,
you would go.
Oh, we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, because I remember, like, you know, my team was the Big Reds, which I guess is wrong now. Thank you, Redskins. Oh. I think the Big Reds is wrong, too, because it was in Indian, you know, Chippewa Valley. So it was a whole Indian team.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would win the Macomb County, you know, varsity basketball. And then they're like, we got a game at U of D against, you know, what was the big Detroit team at the time? So, was it Southwestern?
Southwestern.
It's one of those. And they would just beat our fucking ass. But we'd all go on a bus down to U of D to whatever, you know, the field house down there. And they would just kick our asses.
You ever gone to a University of Detroit Titans game?
I have not.
And they're at Callahan Hall?
But they, yeah, that's what it was, Callahan Hall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, so our high school teams were pretty, you know, they'd be good for a minute and then they'd lose, you know. Then they'd get beat by, you know, some Detroit would kick their ass. And
well, that's, I mean, the Detroit public school leagues were crazy.
For basketball. Now, for football, then the suburbs actually were better football
teams.
Yeah,
probably.
Like, my football team was never good, but the rival school, like, the next town over was Eisenhower. That mm-hmm. was, like, Shelby Township. And those guys could, like, kick ass.
Right.
Because those were all, like, rich white kids who had great equipment. You know, like they just all
be,
you know,
Farmington Harrison,
and
would
then
be a
right,
powerhouse.
And then like their dad
Troy was good.
Their dads played college football and shit, and they had great facilities, and you know, they would beat everyone's ass.
Yeah,
so.
The Troy Colts, they right. would beat us anyway. High school football,
high
in
school
Detroit
memories.
Area.
But I was, you know, but I wasn't a big jock. I mean, I would go to games and stuff.
Around eighth grade or so, I realized that. Yeah. I was just not going to be any good athletically. And I realized that there were crazy, unstable girls doing plays.
Well, yeah, you figured
so
that
I
out.
So I said, let me do the theater.
Sure.
And it was...
No, I was doing wrestling, which yeah. I did wrestling for three and almost... I don't think I even finished my senior year of wrestling because they couldn't give me a lot of matches because I was 3 years on the team. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of varsity spots for me. So I think I dropped out because I was working at the movie theater at that point. Which was a great move, you know. I segued
believe,
into show business.
I believe my decision, the movie business. My decision to do plays in high school, meant I touched at least seven boobs.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
but I would, you know,
girl was just the one, right?
I
didn't get both of them. That's
I
why
went
there was
to
an
camp
uneven
for
number.
Wrestling. Did you ever go to camp for anything? Drama?
I went
anything?
To Boy Scout camp.
Boy Scout camp.
And
yeah,
I went
you didn't
to,
go to like high school camp though. Did
No, I went to Blue Lake Fine Arts Academy.
Yeah, we went to a wrestling camp at Olivet College, which I think is in, I don't know if that's in Albion or where that is in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then. But yeah, in wrestling, I was, you know, it's funny because I look back on pictures and I go, I was terrible at wrestling. And I think I've told the story on here about how I climbed the ropes to the top of the gym and I slid down and ripped all the skin off my hands. I think that was my junior year.
Good times.
And, but I was in shape. Like, I look back, like, I have wrestling photos of, you know, photos they would take of us. Yeah. You know, you could go and get, you'd wear your singlet and you'd get your pictures. And there's one year where I'm like, I'm skinny and I'm like, you can see, like, I got muscle definition and I'm tan.
Yeah.
And I look great. And I'm like, oh, fuck, wrestling put me in some good shape.
Yeah.
Even though I was miserable the whole time because the practice was murder. And, you know, it was not fun. And, you know, you do doing the monkey bars and stair laps and sprints and shit like that. Holy shit.
I mean, I never had any natural
it was like
ability.
2 hours a day of that.
But I do look back and wish I'd kind of done more athletic stuff.
What would you have done? What do you regret not doing?
I'm just I would have. I mean, I wouldn't have been any good. But I wish I'd played more.
Oh,
because now I'm old and fat and
sure.
it's not any good.
Well, but, you don't have a lot of options. Look, if you can't run good, you're out. Okay, if you can't run good, you're out of track. Okay. You're out of.
I never really had speed.
You're out of. But I'm talking about just like endurance as far as that goes. You're out of cross country. You're out of track. You're probably out of soccer if you can't run.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling, you don't have to run that much. So that's good. You're probably out of basketball.
Don't you have to run crazy laps, though, in wrestling?
Well, we would do stair laps. We would run up and down the stairwell and then back and forth in the hallway, up the stairwell, down. What we would do is we had an upstairs and a downstairs gym. We'd run around the upstairs gym, down the stairs, around the downstairs gym. Then back in around the upstairs gym, down the stairs, around the downstairs
gym. I'm tired just hearing that.
And we do that for like 30 minutes as our warm-up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do an hour of like cardio, and then we'd wrestle for an hour. And wow. it was exhausting. And it was every day
till
4:30. And I would just, you know, I'd go home, I'd sleep. I didn't even do my homework. I was so fucking tired from wrestling practice. It was terrible. But, you know, I mean, like that was a sport where you didn't have to have that, you know, that speed thing. Cardio endurance or you know,
well,
running.
Well, you needed some of that, but it wasn't speed.
Right, yeah, and there was no, you know, men's volleyball. I mean, there was a tennis team, but again, tennis, you kind of got to be able to run good in tennis.
Yeah, I had
I don't think we had a golf team. I played a lot of golf as a teenager, but I don't think we had a golf team, and I wasn't, I didn't. It wasn't that I was bad at golf. I just didn't give a shit.
Golf is something you don't need any athleticism.
Right. And so I might have been on a golf team or something. I think there was a golf team, but I think it was just like I enjoyed just going out to the golf course and just pitting the ball around.
Sure.
I'd keep score, but that was just for, you know, it wasn't. It didn't count for anything.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't play golf till I was about 29.
Yeah. I played golf as a teenager and I got out. I gave that up.
Well, this has been an incredible trip down our non-athletic path.
So here we sit. Here we sit in Ferndale, Michigan on a Thursday afternoon after eating nachos and cheese and consuming a World Cup game.
Oh, my goodness.
Bitching about it on a podcast. So here we are.
Well, there you go.
That's what you could
there
be,
is
kids.
Some. Look, I love soccer or football, if you want to be a dick about it. And I've grown to love the sport, and I have a passion for the U.S. men's team. But I don't blame people who don't get into it.
No, it's a
very defensive, strategic game.
It is, yeah.
This World Cup, the scoring has been largely impressive. It's
right,
been
yeah.
like a lot of games. There was a game the other day that was like 4-2. I mean, six goals.
Sure.
5-6 goals a game.
If you think soccer is all nil-nil ties,
right.
There was a lot in this World Cup to. Now, there still were those games,
there
but they were the minority
really
of the games.
Really bad games, but they were the vast minority.
And even the games today, we just watched, you know, the U.S. and Germany, which was played in a rainstorm. Germany got one goal and kind of sat on the ball, and the U.S. guys flopped around on a field and kind of generally sucked. And that wasn't
the U.S. scored two goals in the first two games.
They did,
Two goals in both games. So anyway, the scoring has been much better. The exciting games.
Sure.
Close, come from behind. And, like, Italy, Spain, and England all said goodbye.
Yeah, a lot
and
of Portugal, the Portugal's gone.
All these highly ranked teams.
Yeah, the European teams did not fare well in South America.
No,
this
they
time,
sweated at home. That's
which
too
is
hot.
Too bad. But you know, so I like soccer, but yeah, there is things that people don't get. You know, the timekeeping, like that's completely different from American sports.
Because
it really doesn't make sense, but it's the tradition, and that's the way it's going to stay. And then there's stuff like, you know, even the group system. People don't understand the group play and. Everybody plays three games and you get certain points. And, you know, goal differential is like something that like there is a point like in the NFL, there's point differential, but that's like the third or fourth tiebreaker. And in World Cup, it's the number one tiebreaker. And it kind of doesn't make sense if you think about it. It should be head to head is the number one tiebreaker,
right.
But it's not. Which because I had to look that up. It's goal differential followed by total goals followed by head to head. So had we tied Ghana.
Yeah,
Ghana could have even. Anyway,
so it's that plus one goal that helped us.
Yeah, it was so. You know, it's a lot of weird stuff that doesn't kind of jibe with what we know as an American sport. And you could argue that soccer is more exciting because there aren't the timeouts and the breaks, and it's just
Match. I argue a good match, and I think the U.S. Right. Portugal game was good.
Yeah,
is exciting because it's nonstop,
and I like that. It's nonstop, and it's over in basically less than 2 hours, even with the halftime. So it's not like you waste all day like a baseball game where you sit there all day and then like somebody hits a home run in the you know the top of the ninth, and then it's like your team.
You want to make that sport, though, more exciting in general?
Yeah.
5 yards shorter on each side.
Well, that could be.
It's too wide.
It's too wide. Yeah, well, that's the.
And the field
you know,
is wide, and people spread the ball out.
The field is kind of too long and too wide. They would probably do better to have, you know, maybe fewer guys. I don't know if would fewer guys on the field make it more exciting. Probably.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, I really think the width
field,
is an issue.
And you went to 7 guys instead of 11. But you know, whatever. People like
well,
soccer.
That's why hockey. So.
Well, hockey is really just soccer, but on ice.
Although you can have plenty of hockey games where the puck does not go in the net.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, they do those things where they go into 4 overtimes in hockey, and you're like, holy shit. Yeah. But at least in hockey, it's like you can kind of score from anywhere on the – like if you're over the red line and you take a good shot, it can go in from anywhere. And in soccer, it's like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 90 – you know, what is it, 80% of that field, like you just couldn't fucking possibly score from. You just couldn't.
Yeah,
there's just no way.
Right, right.
And so people get bored with it. And I get it. But I get into World Cup when it starts.
Right.
Corey's all over World Cup when they draw in groups and
I was watching
personnel decisions.
I was watching the qualifiers.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Just when it starts, I'll watch. That's fine.
I watched us play the Gold Cup.
Yeah,
I watched,
you watch too much bullshit with soccer.
Oh, I know. I do watch it all.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Last year,
Last year, you
last
were watching.
March, I want to say. I was watching in the Comedy Castle green room when they played Costa Rica in the snow.
Oh, I did see some.
And Costa Rica
game.
Was so fucking
yeah,
mad.
Yeah, I did.
Because it was like in Denver and snowing.
It was snowing.
And the U.S. team won
because
they were have seen snow before. And Costa Rica was like, what the heck? What is happening?
Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, shut up the floor. Oh.
Yeah, so soccer.
I say frio.
But you know what? For another 2 weeks of this, I can put up with it. I'm
right.
Fine. I'll enjoy it, and then it'll go away. And when it comes back and forth, it's kind of like the Olympics. Like some people get way into the Olympics, and then you know they goes
well,
away.
My point is people,
and they don't give a shit about those guys anymore.
That's what annoys me about Americans. Though there's still some backlash, and there's still people of a certain age. I think guys about 10 years older than us, really don't like soccer.
They don't. Well, they didn't play it as kids like we did.
Right.
You know,
guys in their 50s and 60s have this kind of like, I don't want. That's not an American sport.
Not
screw
our,
you.
Yeah.
Bad. And I'm kind of like, what I love about soccer is that you get to be USA, yo-yo, cheer, yo-yo.
Sure.
I don't know why I did
yo-yo.
That.
Well, that's our American.
Go, USA. You get to cheer your team unabashedly. It brings back that old-fashioned racism that
it
we
is.
All enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. You, I mean, the
well,
name,
it works on the same level as the Olympics.
The names I called the Portuguese players.
Oh, little, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is, like, people will watch, like, Olympic track and field. Or track and field actually has lost
that
a lot of its allure.
That is complete bullshit.
But, you know, gymnastics or swimming in the Olympics. And it's like, fuck, man. Soccer's better than all that shit, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I think it is.
Well, okay, every 4 years or every 2 years now because they've spread the Olympics apart.
Well, yeah, the winter. And
people
the
go, bobsled. Oh, I hope the U.S. wins in bobsled.
Right, or skiing. And you go,
and,
what is
and
that?
At least soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, is a sport that's always going on.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real sport. But
okay, let me ask you about bobsled or skiing or one of those. Have you ever, if they turned off that little clock with the split time, you wouldn't know what the fuck was that. You wouldn't know if a guy was skiing good or skiing bad. You'd have no fucking idea.
It's all,
but
it's
at the bottom, they have a little thing with the stopwatch, and that's how you know if the guy's good or not. I mean, once in a while, the guy wipes out, and you know, okay, that sucked.
Right.
But you don't know, you know, when the guy's sitting there in bobsled and go, well, the line looks good here. He took that last, and it's like, we don't fucking know what
people,
that looks
people
like.
People watch the Olympics, and they're like, total goal count.
Yeah.
That's what they care about. They're like, how many goals do we get?
It's so annoying.
How many are we leading the golds?
We need to
how
win.
How many silvers?
Medal
do we win?
Medal count.
Yeah.
Medal count.
How many gold medals do we
fuck
have?
Fuck off.
And it's
with
like,
that.
Who, you don't really care.
Yeah, you don't care. I mean, you
you're
want,
watching ice dancing.
Right.
You sons
and then,
of
then, you know, they
you
do
all, lying sons of bitches.
And they do all the profile. And I'm, maybe it's because I don't watch all of the downtime coverage of World Cup. I don't have to watch profile pieces on all
these guys.
Right. They just go out there. I don't even know most of these guys' names, but just go out there and fucking.
Well,
put the ball in the net and
the
let's
other
go.
Thing that makes a World Cup better for me is that I follow the English Premier League.
Okay.
So most of these players, Suarez plays for Liverpool, the guy who bit the dude.
The guy who bit
the
other,
the Uruguayan guy who bit it.
We'll be revisiting him during the assholes of the year, almost certainly for 2014.
Well, so I'm familiar, like the German guys like Schürrle, I've seen play before because they all play in, you know, if not Europe, they play in the Championship League.
Sure, yeah.
Which is all the top teams.
Right, so if not in English
league. So I've seen these guys play before.
They go to the UEFA and then you score.
Now,
like, you know.
Guys from, you know, gets a little harder when the guys are from, like, you know, Costa Rica.
Sure,
Chile.
yeah. But, you know,
some of those,
you know, the Bundesliga guys
and the
Spanish League
guy,
you know, those guys.
And the way it works there, too, is that a lot of European, you know, other countries play Chelsea.
Sure.
Our team is half Spaniard. I mean, it's like the Spanish team now.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, the English Premier League is not full of English guys. It's sort of like the NHL. Like people, like I used to make a, I used to tell a joke in my act about the Red Wings, and people used to go crazy for the Red Wings. And I'm like, it's six Russians, two Swedes, a couple of Finns, and Chris Chelios. You know, and like that you know,
it was
like,
one American,
you go
Doug Brown.
And I'm like, and I said, and Chris Chelios, and he's from Chicago. And you guys are all go Detroit, and I'm like, no one's from Detroit.
Hey, honestly, the you know, the U.S. men's team, five of the guys grew up in Germany.
Sure, yeah,
but they have American dads.
Well, that's fine.
So there you go.
All right, so that's we've been watching a lot of World Cup.
All right,
over
World
here.
Cup mania,
World Cup coverage here on Joel Radio.
Is it a hipster sport though?
Well, I think it became a hipster sport in the sense that, like, here's a sport no one's watching, and that appeals to hipsters. that's, you know, now it's going mainstream, and I think the hipsters are kind of going, hey, man.
Yeah, it is getting too popular.
It's like too big now, man.
No, you're so right. Guys were like,
we need to watch rugby, man.
Guys would wear their fucking Tottenham scarves when they thought it was cool and nobody knew about it.
Yeah, that was you.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
When I went to England in 2000 and we barely knew each other, I'd been doing comedy for less than a year.
Yeah.
And I saw you and I said, hey, I'm going to England. And you're like, buy me some scarves.
Right.
And you gave me some list of teams that I didn't know. And I wrote this shit down. And I went to like a football. There was like a football store that all they sold was football gear. And I bought a couple of scarves and brought them home to you. And you were all happy. And I was like, oh.
There you go.
And I was like, yeah, Corey wanted football scarves.
Yeah.
Like, whatever those are.
That's good.
Yeah. But that was something I did for you. But I did barely knew you. You were into it then.
I was. So there you go. Thank you.
Sure.
Credentials, at least I've been an asshole.
You have been, yeah.
I've been a pretentious asshole.
And some people get into soccer, too, I find, because they play that FIFA game on whatever game.
Right.
And I've played that, too.
I had FIFA on the Sega Genesis.
Right.
Like 94
and I'll play some of those games. Like, I played, I know the most recent soccer game I played was actually, like, the other one, the Pro Evolution game.
Sure.
The Japanese one. And, like, I think you and I were playing it once, and I was like, yeah, these aren't even the real guys. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You know, they have guys that sort of simulate the guy, and the name is kind of the same.
FIFA has the license for all the players.
Right, so they'll have, like, you'll get to play as Man U,
sure,
but the guys on Man U are named different than the real Man U guys.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to
get all the authentic licenses with FIFA. But anyway, I was playing that on Genesis because I'm a freak.
Yeah.
I mean, I had NHL and all the other
stuff. Sure, I did, I did.
We're weird dorks in that we're dorks who also like sports.
Well, I like, you know, but sometimes you do find that really nerdy, like, you know, who's into, like, a lot of nerdy, like, smart guys are into boxing. Like, you sort of qualifies that, you know, you get like old guys who are like into the sweet science of boxing.
Boxing is old guys and stat nerds or something.
Yeah, right. There is. And like Mexicans. That's who's into boxing. You know, it's like.
It is so funny because
boxing's a mainstream sport like in Mexico. But in America, it's like a smaller segment of. I mean, there's Mexican Americans who are into it. But like your average white guy probably doesn't watch a lot of boxing anymore.
Well, that's. There aren't a lot of, I'm telling you, a guy from Long Island won a middleweight title the other day, and it was the first white middleweight guy I can remember.
Because the draws, aside from Mayweather, are all Latino guys, or once in a while you get a British guy that gets hot. And
there's a lot of Irish and English
crazy
fighters,
for those guys.
Carl Froch and stuff, but like... not a lot of American...
Yeah, boxing is something that occasionally
thing. It is, you're right. It is such a, like, even the American guys who are in it are like Mike Alvarado and Brandon Rios. They're like Texan American.
Yeah, they get into, you know.
Mexican heritage.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, you're right. There's so many Mexicans love.
Yeah, Mexicans are fighting. I mean, that's like, that's.
Because there's a lot of Mexican fighters.
Yeah, a lot of Mexican fighters. In America, our guys.
Juan Manuel Marquez.
But you know, if you're an American teenager, you generally don't go into boxing. You know, you go into football, you go into baseball, and that's why those become our.
Now, there are some people that follow Floyd Mayweather, but only because he's black famous.
Well, yeah, there's the Floyd Mayweather.
The concept we discussed, 2 weeks ago?
Black famous?
Black famous?
Did we
discuss black famous?
I don't know if we did, but you give him a little taste of black famous.
My theory is that if you are famous in the black community,
yes,
your fame is not only more intense, it lasts longer.
Sure.
You burn.
Well, we did talk about
you
this.
You burn
yeah.
brighter and longer in the black community.
Because I said they give everybody a sitcom. Like, if you have one hit single, they give you the sitcom. You get to be in the movie. You get the whole suite.
Black
of show business.
So there was a story that happened in Detroit this week.
Yes.
And every Negration person I know, people of the darkness and the negritude, discussed Trick Trick.
You know what? I'm going to try to get you. Go ahead. I'm going to try to get our urban correspondent on the phone.
Oh,
here.
good.
No, I mean, is that okay? You go ahead. I'm going to try.
Sure.
Well, I
need someone to explain the Trick Trick.
Well,
situation.
You know what? I got a lot of black guys' names in here. So
all right, hit somebody up.
Actually, I think my black. Oh, I
who's not working?
No, you go ahead. You keep telling the story because I'll try to get him on.
So, Trick Trick apparently is a rapper of some regard.
Yeah.
And another rapper, Rick Ross, who is famous for being a big fat guy, kind of, I think.
And Rick Ross was a drug dealer. There was Freeway Rick Ross, and he stole his name. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's his whole. So yeah. So he's kind of in Biggie Smalls mold.
Yeah, he's got a good drug dealer gimmick.
Drug dealer guy. And Rick Ross was supposed to play a concert here at Shane Park in Detroit.
Yeah.
And allegedly, a large crowd of Trick Trick's goons blocked his entry to the venue. Is that the story?
Yeah, it was something like Trick Trick was coming to headline a show, and then Rick Ross was coming to headline a show in Detroit at Shane Park.
Yeah,
and then supporters of Trick Trick decided to block the artist's entrance, so Rick Ross couldn't get in, and so Rick Ross said "fuck this" and went home. And then Trick Trick said, "I run Detroit, and if you want," I guess the idea is if you want to come to Detroit and like headline a show, you have to like give it's a mafia.
Really?
You have to like give a cut to Trick Trick.
Oh, well, that's funny. I
know.
I gave a cut of my money for Big Tommy's to Kevin McPeak a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
He runs Detroit.
I gave him part of the O'Mara show the other day when we did that. Well, my first...
Brian McCree's like, if you want to work in Flint, you got to give me a cut.
See, I think if I call this next guy, it's not... this is just...
He ain't going to answer?
Well, who should I... You know,
Patrick Kinsey?
No, I mean, I'm trying to get guys who've been on the show before.
Lundy?
I'm trying to figure out. Lundy, I already tried, and he wasn't around.
Chilean
if he calls
Thomas
me, or... yeah, that's who I'm trying now. Hey, man, I'm on Joel Radio. Can I talk to you on the air? You got two minutes? Can you talk for, like, 3 minutes? Okay, you're not somewhere where you can't talk. Okay, hold on 1 second, Chill. I'll let you talk to Corey.
All right, our friend Chilean Thomas.
All right.
This is good. We're getting to the bottom of this.
I patched in Chill. Chill. Oh, I got to take him out. Chill. Yo. Chill. Why can't I hear him? Oh, there we go. Chill.
What's up?
You can hear me. Can you hear Corey?
Say, hey, man. How you doing?
I can hear both of you, and I know this isn't going to be good.
Listen. I tried someone else. We're on the show. We're trying to describe what Trick Trick did to Rick Ross this week in Detroit.
Okay.
Because it's a big feud,
we needed a hip-hop correspondent to explain the situation.
We needed a hip-hop correspondent, and I called all those guys, and no one answered, so we called you. So,
well, you called the right person last.
Good. Clear it up for us. Clear it up for us, Chill.
All right, well, I didn't know at first either, but I work at a really hood place, so I asked them, and they told me. Usually, I wouldn't know the information about this either. But,
okay.
From what I heard, what happened to Rick Ross was Detroit artist Trick Trick. You know, he's a rapper, and plus he's with Goon Squad, and which is basically a gang of some sort.
Okay.
Right? And basically, they're known for beating up rappers when they come to Detroit or whatnot. Well, anyway, supposedly. Rick Ross wouldn't put a Detroit artist on before him.
Oh.
Trick Trick and them didn't like that, and they told him basically that you got to put a Detroit artist on or we're not going to allow you to perform. And so basically that that's what happened from what I know. Well, I don't understand is how the hell you white motherfuckers know.
Well, wait. No. This. Well, here's my thing.
Well,
my thing is like my feeling is that Trick Trick, what I thought I got from this was that Rick Ross needs to, like, pay Trick Trick in order to perform, or else Trick Trick won't let you perform unless you give him money or something.
Yeah, well, you know, and that could be in form of allowing one of his artists to perform or whatnot, or it could just be a payment thing. But from what I heard,
yeah,
it had something to do with the fact that he wouldn't put any Detroit artists on.
But it was,
this is very true though in the white community as well, Chill, because every time Eddie Money comes to DTE, Kid Rock takes a piece out of his
ass. See, that doesn't work. Yeah, because
I heard Kid Rock doesn't let Dave Matthews come through.
That's right.
Somebody,
fuck you, Matthews.
But that would be the equivalent of it, and it doesn't make sense. Like, you know, I mean, I guess.
Corey, as close as you live to Detroit, are you trying to tell me that that something being criminal is it happening? That's not the norm. Of course it's criminal.
Right.
I mean, who's going to do anything about it? Matter of fact, I feel uncomfortable talking about this.
But wait a minute. But well, here's my problem.
I never heard. I didn't know who Trick Trick. I knew who Rick Ross was.
Right.
But I'd never heard of Trick Trick. Well, so this was all new to me.
Corey, how the hell do you even know who Rick Ross is?
I explained it to him. But listen, here's how I know Trick Trick. Chill. You might know this. Here's how I know Trick Trick. I was an extra on that movie Alex Cross. Where Trick Trick played the underground MMA promoter. So I sat in this old abandoned church in the stands and watched Trick Trick come out and shoot his scenes for that awful movie. And all of the black people that were there, that were in the crowds, they went crazy for Trick Trick. They saw Trick Trick come out and shoot, and they were like, oh, Trick Trick's here. And my feeling is like, how does Trick Trick run Detroit? Doesn't Eminem run Detroit? Isn't he the biggest rapper from Detroit?
Trick Trick's not running Detroit from rap, though. He's running it through other
actual
ways.
Criminal, actual gang.
Doing
rap.
What? Like
doing,
beating people
doing
up?
The stuff that, like intimidation. Yeah, like.
All right. Listen.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this from here on out. If anybody, and you put this out, Jill, because I know you know these guys, and I'm not, you know, it's gonna sound like a bit, but it's not. If you want to do comedy in Ferndale, Michigan, you have to get approval from Joel Fregenbauer. So you go over to New Way Bar and you tell them, anybody wants to run anything, you got to go through me. Because I will block the door. Me and Corey will be out there.
You're right.
I might have Harry Arton with me. I'm telling you, I will block doors. I will deny access to anybody who wants to come to Ferndale to do comedy. I will stop you.
CC Dynamite trying to run
town.
CC trying to run that shit around us.
Right.
Forget. We'll shut that shit down.
She's out. Right. No CC Dynamite.
Chill, you got anything to plug? You got any your website or your Twitter or anything you want to plug?
I'm not going to plug it on your show because I want to be associated with you, prick.
Oh, come on.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
actually, I got a big show coming up at the Token Lounge August 15th. Actually, so.
Token Lounge. So there you go.
Yep.
And that's in Westland. So you're good. You don't need Trick Trick, right?
Yeah, Westland is where I'm from. So it's the same way over in Westland.
That's Westland.
Anybody want to go through any trailer parks in Westland, they got to talk to me.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Chill, the emperor of Westland. Thanks, buddy.
That's right.
We did our World Cup coverage without you, but maybe I think we needed Chill for that. I think it would be much more entertaining. How much World Cup have you watched, Chill? Be honest.
Say this again?
How much World Cup have you watched? How much soccer?
I watched very little of it.
Of course he has.
Because
all right.
I'm busy trying to get laid. So
all right, well,
hard to do both of those
keep
at the same time.
Keep working on that, Chill. All right, thank you, Chill.
All right,
how are you guys doing? Hey, I haven't even. This is the first time I talked to any one of you dudes. You guys all right?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're doing the show, and
you come back in and do the.
Yeah,
show
we'll have
sometime.
You on soon, Chill. All right, buddy.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
You gotta come. You gotta come and. You got to pay your respects to Ferndale Comedy right here, Joel Fragamenti.
Look at this. You know what? I want to look, this Ferndale Westland beef, it's time.
Yeah, that's it.
We got to put it to a rest.
By the way, I'm coming up with a new name. From here on out, I want to be called Joke Joke. No more Joel Fragamenti. I'm Joke Joke. So if you want to come to, you got to come through Joke Joke. That's it.
Joke Joke.
You know what? That's my hip hop name.
Joke Joke Fragamenti.
Yes.
That or either Joe Fragamenti from the movie Alex Cross.
I was with Trick Trick. That's my credibility. I got the rub from Trick Trick. I was in a movie with Trick Trick. Shit.
You got way more credibility than I have.
I do. Well, we all know that, Joe. All right. Thank you very much, Joe. Good.
Hey, Joe. And this is better be the last time you call me Colette, too.
Oh yeah, exactly. There you go. There's Chill from the payphone in Westland. There he is. All right, Chill. I'm glad you picked up. The bus is coming. You got to go. I know. I'll see you. Goodbye.
We'll holler at you later, Chill.
Goodbye, Chill. Oh, Jesus Christ. him trying to shoehorn his jokes in was...
he got him in.
Nah, he was good. He's all right. Good. Well, I'm glad. He actually did clear it up a little bit, though, didn't he?
I got some info out of
that. Like, when he said the artist thing, I was like, oh, that's pretty good info, Chill.
Yeah,
thanks.
No, that's good.
That's good. Well, now, if Michael Lundy calls back, we'll get another opinion. But
look,
that was,
I'm not going to lie, though.
That was good.
I gotta sometimes ask a black friend to explain this stuff because I don't understand what's going on. Call your black friends. Explain
the
shit.
trick. Yeah.
Look, I got to explain what internet memes are to my mother. Why is this cat not happy? You know.
Did your mom ask about trick?
No, my mom just, you know, every now and then my mom will ask something crazy. Like, now what did this Miley Cyrus do, you know, or just
yeah,
like
sure.
Some,
like somebody does something controversial.
She called me the other day. She's like, what is John Boehner? Why is he suing the president? What's going on? Oh, no. And I have to explain stuff to my mom.
All right. Well, let's get into some other stuff here. I think we've covered the big news. But, you know, Corey suggested to me, you know, speaking of podcasts.
Yes, sir.
And this is a complete 180 from what we're talking about. One of the guys who I will, without question now, call this guy the funniest man alive, Gilbert Gottfried. I will bill him as
great
such.
Comic. Sure.
Started a podcast.
Yeah.
So he's comedian. If we were comedians one and two of doing a podcast, he's comedian 3,752. But still, Gilbert Gottfried has a podcast, and he is the funniest man alive.
It seems like it goes now. The greatest comics in the world finally have podcasts.
Yeah, it sort of. It started
with us.
Yeah,
and now finally it's trickled down to the top of the world.
Speaking of, but before we get into Gilbert, you know, did you see the thing where Seinfeld said he did an interview, and he said it's $100,000 an episode to shoot comedians in the cars getting coffee. And I go, I think he buys the car with the $100,000. I think that's the budget.
Do they buy each restaurant?
I don't know how that's $100,000.
They buy every coffee shop?
I mean, look, maybe he uses union, you know, camera guys, and, you know, they have to get a truck, and that's all. There's probably day rates of, several thousand dollars
a
day.
So you've got a sound engineer.
Yes.
Who probably also does
I'm guessing those guys are probably mic'd up, so they probably weren't lavalier mics.
Okay.
So there's a sound guy for that, and then there's video guys.
Boom operator?
And there might be a boom guy for when they're walking down the street to get some ambient sound. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a small team, but say a team of less than 10 guys to actually shoot that thing.
But why would that cost
$100,000? I have no fucking idea. I have no idea, but I mean,
are they paying the other comic?
They might be paying the guest. I mean, maybe Jerry's salary is included in that. I mean,
okay. And the thing is underwritten or sponsored by what? Acura?
Acura, yeah, I think.
Because there's always like, even if he's, Jerry likes old Porsches from the 70s. Yeah. And even if they're not like.
He likes all Porsches from everywhere.
Right, but he likes a lot.
Yeah, in his private life, he's driving an old Porsche.
I'm driving a 1967 Common Ghia.
Yeah.
And he likes little tiny cars, sports cars.
But yeah, Acura, there's usually an Acura in every episode.
They'll be in the Aston Martin and they'll drive by.
Yeah.
Look at this new Acura.
Right. So, and then Acura has a little commercial there. But why is that $100,000? I don't get that at all.
I don't know. I don't know where that
goes. That makes no sense.
Do they have to pay $50,000 to Trick?
Yes, I think Seinfeld must have to pay off somebody else to do. I don't know. That blows my mind. I mean, let's get back to Gilbert, because Gilbert. Yeah. By the way, why isn't Gilbert in the car getting coffee?
I don't know.
Yes,
I like coffee and I like juice.
If it's free, I'll come. If you're paying,
I don't know.
You know why? Because he does that impression of Jerry that Jerry probably hates.
Oh, that's totally why.
He did that on Seth Meyers the other night.
Well, he also takes a shit on Leno at every opportunity.
Yeah, he
does.
So maybe Gilbert's not in with that crew.
When you saw the episode where Howard Stern was grilling Jerry about Leno, and Jerry got very uncomfortable because those are their little buddies.
Yeah. So anyway, so Gilbert, now, they've only put up, I think, 3 or maybe 4 of these Gilbert podcasts now. First of all, it's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. I'll put a link on the front page of Joel Radio. You can go link to that. He's on one of these, which it's something that is completely unnecessary. He's on one of these podcast network shows where they have all these different guys doing shows and they'll have 50 shows to choose from. And you have to go through their portal and it's kind of annoying. You can't just go right to. I'll dig down.
See,
as
I
deep
got mine
as I
just from my iPhone.
You can get it
podcast,
from iTunes, or you can get it from Stitcher, I'm sure too. But if you want to go, because what I do is I actually go get the RSS feed and put it into it's a whole juice and it's a whole pain in the ass. But anyway, so I listen to this Gilbert, and it seems like his gimmick, Gilbert, is he's just going to interview old celebrities who no one hears from anymore.
Yes,
like guys who maybe were big in their day. And just aren't around, or like they're like people that Gilbert liked when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So Corey recommends this. He says, you got to listen to Larry Storch on the Gilbert podcast. I've never heard the Gilbert podcast. Turns out this Larry Storch was the star of F Troop.
Yes.
And he's 91 years old now. And you never heard a older, more confused guy trying to give. And, like, there are some, like, Larry Storch stories, which I guess would be funny, but it's always references to other guys you never heard of from F Troop. And you're just going, oh, fuck this thing. I can't get through it.
They didn't really talk about F Troop much. It was a lot of movies that he. Larry Storch was a veteran character actor. I think what Gilbert likes, the guests so far have been Dick Cavett, who, if you're under 40, was a talk show host.
But Dick Cavett probably hasn't been. I think he probably had a cable talk show in the early 80s. So Dick Cavett's a guy who probably hasn't been on TV with a regular solid gig.
Yeah, I don't know when.
In 25 years.
Well, Dick Cavett shows up a lot.
He's been a guest on stuff,
sure. He writes books.
He might have been on CNBC or something, but like some little minor.
He writes books and he comes out and does. Yeah. He's a talk show guest.
He's a talk show guest now. But even now, he's not even a talk. Now it's like none of the late nights will have him on or anything anymore. He's completely.
I think Ferguson does.
But Ferguson has. Ferguson dances with a horse. Ferguson doesn't count. Okay. So Gilbert has. So Dick Cavett. Is what you're saying is all stories about 50s and 60s.
Well, Dick Cavett worked for...
Dick Cavett was big in the 60s, let's say, or the 70s.
I think he was a writer for Jack Parr and then a writer for Carson.
Okay.
Then he went and got his own show.
Got his own show, probably when Johnny got the Tonight Show or something. Or when Johnny moved to L.A., Dick stayed in New York and got a show.
I think that was probably when it was. Yeah, and he was in New York. It was a comic.
And he's Woody Allen's buddy. He drops his name in every conversation. So Dick and Woody used
to
hang
Cavett
out.
Dick is just a very urbane sort of man.
Yes.
And very dry and urbane. I actually liked his show when I was a kid.
I don't have a problem with Dick Cavett, but is that the ideal guy to be first?
No, Gilbert.
Your first podcast guest is Dick Cavett.
What I'm saying, what I like about the Gilbert Gottfried podcast, and why I enjoy, one, having met Gilbert, I just enjoy... I get where he's coming from.
He's hilarious, but he's also hilarious in ways that his what entertains him is so arcane.
Yes.
And his impressions of like old Groucho.
Well, what's funny about this
and
shit.
Georgie Jessel that he does on stage, it's just like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, no one gets it.
But this is what's great. I've interviewed Gilbert twice.
Yeah.
And worked with him once.
Yeah.
So I've talked to him a total of about an hour and a half of my life.
Yeah.
During that hour and a half, we talked about Frankenstein.
Yeah.
We talked about Alan Thicke. All of these things, right? All of the things Gilbert likes, these weird things, are on this podcast, which I enjoy.
It so does, but...
he's had Dick Cavett.
Yeah.
Then he had Gianni Russo, who was on. It was in The Godfather.
Yeah.
He's the guy who beats up Talia Shire, and then James Caan comes and slaps him around. And then he had on Larry Storch, who's 90 years old. And was always a shticky comedian, even to begin with.
Right, yeah. He does impressions.
F Troop was never a great show.
Right.
And then he has Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer, yeah.
So Paul Schaefer.
Who he would know from SNL and stuff. Or maybe Paul had gone to Letterman, but he was a frequent guest on Letterman. So he's got a history
of Paul.
Well,
they knew each other.
He's got a history of Paul and stuff. And that's fine. And you know, Paul Schaefer's almost out of show business, but for the next year, he's still relevant, I guess. But, you know, it's just such a weird fucking thing. And Gilbert's hilarious, and I love it, but you're like, listen to this Larry Storch thing. And I'm like, you know, and I'm not making long road trips like I used to for comedy. I mean, I guess when I was going to see Bruce in April, I took some long road trips. But, you know, like, I'm driving back and forth to the gym. I'm driving back and forth to the grocery store or to work, which is only 5 minutes away. And it's like... how long is it going to take me to get to this Larry Storch interview where he's doing Buddy Hackett impressions? And it's painful.
It's so great is that Larry
Storch. Do you want to hear? Should I play a little bit?
Play a little Larry Storch.
And this is just going to be when I plug. I'm plugging in the MP3 player I use for my podcast when I listen to those. But this is just where I'm at in the show. This isn't even like.
Larry Storch is like 90 years old. He was known as an impressions guy, kind of like Frank Gorshin.
Okay.
He would do comedic impressions.
Yeah.
And but he sounds kind of.
Yeah, he sounds like he has emphysema. And he's still doing impressions when, you know, when Gilbert asks him about Buddy Hackett, he goes into a Buddy Hackett impression here. I don't know where this is.
30 minutes. Right. Who says that? Yes.
And everybody was on F Troop, Larry. I mean, Milton Berle, Harvey Korn.
Okay, and then the Gilbert's got a guy with him. I don't know who. They never even introduced Gilbert's
Frank
buddy.
Frank Santopadre.
Who was that guy?
That's my co-host.
Okay, but he didn't even bring him up on this show. He just started talking.
Gilbert couldn't pronounce his name the first episode.
Oh, okay. Is he like a comic, or is he?
I guess he's a friend of Gilbert. Friend of
Phil Harris, we talked about.
So
Edward Everett Horton, Don Rickles played Bald Eagle. Any memories?
We're talking all about
specific memories of any of these guys.
Who was that? Oh my word! Edward Everett Horton.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh my word, Larry, promise me something." I said, "Anything. Promise me you'll never grow old." You know, and one day Edward Everett Horton's. His voice, he was ill, and I did his voice. I did his voice. That's
I'm 20 minutes into this Larry Storch podcast.
Now, there was an actor on F Troop, and you know, one of my favorite movies was Of Mice and Men.
Was it Joe Brooks who played Vanderbilt?
Oh,
the nearsighted.
No.
Oh, there I know who you're talking about, the old Western actor.
Yes.
He played Duffy.
Yes. Is there any way anyone can
Walter
look that
Brennan?
Was it Bob Steele?
Yes.
What? Bob Steele?
Yeah.
Bob Steele was in the original Of Mice and Men with Lon Chaney Jr.
I just have to tell you just this one. Do we have time for a fast one?
Plenty, absolutely.
Plenty of time.
All right. Now, see, but it goes on. This is the whole fucking show. There's an hour plus of this.
Well, Larry starts telling, like, street jokes.
Yeah. I got to get to that part.
And that's great.
All right. Anyway, I'm 21 minutes in, and I'm done with it. I mean, maybe I'll listen some more. I love Gilbert. I hope the future shows are good.
I can't sit here and tell you it's for everybody's taste.
No.
And Gilbert also...
Gilbert's laugh is hilarious. But that's the appeal of Gilbert, is that he laughs at inappropriate stuff. He laughs at old references that nobody gets.
Right.
And that's what's funny, but you still got to get through Larry Storch, and it's like, hey.
A lot of concentration camp material.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert loves that shit, and it's funny. It's great.
I like it a lot, but it's not for
average
taste.
Look, we don't recommend a lot. We usually shit on other podcasts on this show. And in a sense, I'm shitting on the Gilbert show, but I just go like, it's exactly what you'd expect Gilbert to do at the same time. You know what I mean? It's not like Gilbert having on Aisha Tyler or something.
What I like
about Gilbert
it.
Being Gilbert. And
a lot of these podcasts.
That's great, but.
A lot of these like famous people's podcasts, which I now listen to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Become kind of a de facto press junket.
Yeah.
They're just like doing the morning radio.
Sure, yeah.
If somebody's on The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick, they then show up on WTF. They show up,
guys have something to plug.
They
and
show
now
up
they
on
do the
Jay Moore show.
They do the podcast
right,
circuit.
And they all do the podcast circuit. Yeah. So to me, Gilbert's having on guys who are on no circuit.
You mean Larry Storch doesn't have a project coming up? You know, there's no...
Gilbert's got guys who are barely circulating.
Larry Storch isn't appearing in Atlantic City anytime soon? Yeah. Anyway.
And so if you love old showbiz, it's really the
and
way
And I do, but I think his old show... You know, there's old show business, and then there's Gilbert's old show business. And I think it's
no, Gilbert's going, oh, he was in Ghost of Frankenstein, which was my favorite. You know, and...
No, Gilbert's the best. I'm not sure about that show. I'm going to listen to it some more. At this point, I think I'm not bullish on it, but we'll see.
All right, we'll listen to the Dick Cavett one, and that's
I will listen to exceptional. The Dick Cavett one. All right, let's move on here now. Movie? Do you want to talk about movies? What else do I have on here? Well, Big Brother came back. Do you give any shit about that?
Not
okay. 2 seconds on Big Brother. Aired one episode. It's finally. Do we have a drum roll, Corey? Can you make a drum roll? Finally in high definition on CBS. There you go.
Wow.
It was one of the... I think now, if you watch network television, like shows are actually... I believe there's one network television show which is not shot in high definition. Do you know what that is?
I do.
It's because I told you on the phone the other day. It's Let's Make a Deal with Wayne Brady. They're still shooting that fucking piece of shit. With, like, the old, you know, with Monty Hall's old cameras from the 60s.
Isn't, like, the Steve Harvey show, or no.
No, Steve Harvey's
Bill Cunningham.
You know what? I think that's a syndicated program, so I'm not sure how you count it, but I believe Let's Make a Deal is actually on CBS, and it's not in HD, and it's awful, and it's the one fucking thing that, you know, I mean, I know what you're going, oh, it's people in wacky costumes and Wayne Brady's dumbass. who needs that in HD? But it sticks out like a sore thumb when you're watching current television, and it looks garbage. And not to mention, you know, I have a 70-inch TV now that I watch a lot of my TV on. And, you know, you try to watch standard definition on that fucking thing, and your eyes will burn. Your eyes will bleed. It's terrible.
I've been over this before, but my father-in-law.
Yeah.
Not a 60.
We've heard this story.
It's not a 60, but it's like a 50-something.
Yeah, mine's a 70.
It's got it. I'm sorry. It's not a 70. Excuse me.
Pay proper respect to the television.
I'm underserving. Whatever. He's got a 50-inch plus, yeah, and it's mounted on his wall.
Yeah.
And he's running SD up.
Yeah. I
want it every time
he
I go.
He deserves. Trick deserves to, like, punish that guy. I whatever.
Every time I'm like, Bob, what are you doing? Let me buy you an HDMI cord and run this thing.
So anyway, that's Big Brother. All right, let's get into movies. You go ahead. Now, I'm going to let you go first on this one. We each saw a new movie.
Sure.
That's out in theaters now or coming out, right? This one opens tomorrow. Friday. Probably today.
By the time you heard it, you'll probably...
It'll be out.
You'll probably already be out.
You can go waste your money on this, but the new Transformers is out. Is this number 4?
I believe so.
Number 5?
Now,
four.
I have lived blissfully Transformer-free. since the first one.
Yeah, which you and I watched together. We went to the 3D, I don't know if it's 3D, but it was the IMAX presentation of Transformers. They did a recut of Transformers for IMAX. Yeah. So we saw the original Transformers probably 6 months after it came out originally. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was, collectively, I think we thought it was one of the worst movies ever made.
It's really bad.
It is.
I don't get it, the whole thing. It's just... Hachimachi. So,
truly awful.
Yeah. So, it's like a 7-year-old told you a story. and then Optimus Prime is in trouble and the bad guys are coming and then they shoot them with the rockets and then they jump in the ship and then the ship goes up and then Marky Mark is there and he says, "Oh, dude, look out." And then they fall off a ledge, and then there's dinosaur Transformers.
Right. It seems like it's something that, like, a kid signed off on. Like, I would like to have this scene, and then that scene, and then a dinosaur comes out, and then there's this, and it's like... But, you know, people go to this. I mean, this is the fourth goddamn fucking Transformers.
And here's what I recommend.
I believe they all... I mean, who knows how much those cost to make, but I'm guessing if that thing clears 120 million, it's in the black, right, at that point?
Well, it's in the black when you look in the theater, because that's who's going to these Transformer movies. But
well, it is, you know, racism aside, it just does feel like this movie is made for, like, dumb people. It's, like, not a movie.
Oh, it's absolutely it's made, like, for dumb
it's
people.
It's just not, it's not intelligent. And I know that they... And look, they got, because I said this to you, you told me about it on the phone last night, and I said, well, they got rid of Shia LaBeouf, and now Mark Wahlberg's the star. I mean, he's not playing the same character, but I'm like, that's got to be an upgrade to go to Mark Wahlberg, isn't it?
No. Well, Mark Wahlberg is playing, this is,
yeah.
Mark Wahlberg is typecast as ingenious electronic inventor.
He's in this one, too? Every movie.
I mean, every
with
time
Wahlberg.
You see Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch. I say enough with him being an electronical engineering genius.
Yeah, I've seen enough Mark Wahlberg as college professor movies. I've seen enough of those.
What? We're going to see Wahlberg tinkering with gadgets again?
God.
Enough with that already.
Too many of these.
It's kind of like.
So he's the genius engineer.
I know.
What did you cast Michael Cera as that, or even like Jonah Hill or something? Yeah,
anybody but Mark Wahlberg.
Anybody but Mark Wahlberg.
Word to your mother.
I love, and I watched again this week, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, where James Franco is doing genetic research. Sure. And I got through that without laughing too hard. I think that's a great movie.
Well,
but Mark Wahlberg building Transformers, I can't get
not
past.
Since Denise Richards played Dr. Christmas Jones.
I forgot how bad that was.
Has there been a...
What Bond was that? Holy that was Toledo. Terrible. That was like the last Pierce Brosnan one, wasn't it? Wasn't that when they kicked him out?
The world is not enough.
It might be. Holy shit. Thank God. How do they let Denise Richards do anything? Yeah.
No, Denise Richards can play a Bond girl.
I don't know. If I was casting a shitty actress with big tits, I wouldn't consider Denise Richards for that role.
That was from the.
That's how bad that is.
That is from The World Is Not Enough.
The World Is Not Enough.
And let me tell you, her acting was not enough.
She, anyway. I've seen that. That is not good. God. That is terrible. So, so anything else in Transformers that stands out?
Well,
I mean,
it's like. I couldn't understand what I was looking at. Because, like, the Transformers themselves are this, like, over-designed, like, every single rivet and every single... And they're all just over... It's like an Ed Hardy 8, like a Big Daddy Ed Roth, like, model kit and shit it out on top of, like... It's like every tattoo shop you've ever seen. Like every bad logo and graphic all crunched into this metal abomination. And there's nowhere to actually look at. The Transformers are so over-rendered.
Yeah.
And there's so many tiny parts on all of their body, you know, that, like, you can't even look at it.
Well,
the cartoon Transformers would turn from a truck into a robot, and the robot would be kind of blocky.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be kind of like big, bulky forearms.
Yeah.
And it looked like a robot.
Yeah.
These things are just like big metal piles of shit.
Yeah.
And there's, you can't even look at it.
So I remember in the first one, one of the complaints was like the Transformers would be fighting each other, and it just looked like a big blur of metal in the sky. You couldn't tell who was winning, who was losing. There's no like human analog to the parts where, you know, like Pacific Rim, which was kind of a shitty movie too, but the robot fighting was pretty good in that because it made sense. It looked like pro wrestling with big robots and monsters, and it worked. But in Transformers, they're like, gravity doesn't seem to affect these things. They float when they want to float.
Right, so,
they jump where they want to jump. It doesn't make any sense.
They're robots who can just jump indiscriminately.
Yeah, there's no
float
gravity does not affect them.
And they're even weird. Like one of them is a samurai. Like he's a helicopter. Okay, I wish I knew.
You could be making this up right now, and I was going like yeah, this Transformers is a fry cook, and I would go right along with it.
Okay, so he's a helicopter.
Like he's a helicopter.
And then when he turns into robot form, the helicopter blades are his swords. But he's got like a full samurai, like helmet and a face.
Okay.
And he talk like this.
Oh, of course.
He talk like... Oh, Optimus Prime is very noble. We must follow him.
I'm making you a California roll.
That's right. This, the key to defeat Megatron is at the Benihana. It's like he talks like that. And I think, I don't know if they got Ken Watanabe or some shit.
I don't know.
Oh, we must call Gojira. It's so bad. And he's like this Japanese robot. And I'm like, they're supposed to be. Now, the Transformers.
Right.
Are from planets, because you asked me,
okay,
what are they, right? Is that what you asked? Somebody asked
me. I don't know. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. No, somebody else asked me.
Yeah,
what are they, like a scientific experiment gone awry? And I said, no.
They're from another planet,
they're
right?
They're from the planet Cybertron. Okay? And they're aiming...
How shitty is that planet, by the way? I would have left, too, if it was full of those fucking things.
It's a planet of talking
fuck
robot
out of there.
Fucks.
Yeah, I'm out.
So when they came to Earth, they disguised themselves as cars.
Right. Right.
They were like, okay, let me disguise myself as a Bugatti Veyron so that no one will notice that I'm a $500,000
like
automobile.
Yeah, one of them was like a Mustang or something, right? Bumblebee?
Yeah, right. Well, he was a Camaro.
Something. Yeah, one of those.
They're all... In the cartoon, Bumblebee was a Volkswagen Bug. And they gave him an upgrade.
They just gave some license
Well, the whole thing is like, it's about cars and robots. It's just like a fucking teen fantasy for like 14-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And... anybody who's not in that bracket, but I sat and watched grown adults go, woo!
Well, yeah, the first one we went there.
How he getting him?
And we're sitting there, and this was like a press screening, and the guy sitting next to us is like, yeah, man, this is like the third time I've seen Transformers. It's great. And we were like, what the fuck? And the movie hadn't even started yet. And we were like, what the fuck's with this guy? Now, I heard there's a scene in here where the Transformers try to go to Detroit and Trick-Trick stops them. Is that true?
Is
that part in the movie?
That is not true because there's a segment shot in Detroit.
Right, that's what I mean. They did shoot a part. Now, can you tell that's Detroit? Because they made it look like Hong Kong or something.
They did.
I remember going down to the set. It was just in the middle of the road there, and I drove past it.
They have a big action sequence in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And it appears that like they shot exteriors in Hong Kong. And at one point, there's an action scene where Marky Mark's jumping off roofs.
Yeah,
that clearly was in Hong Kong. But I think what they did is they dressed a couple streets in Detroit to look like Hong Kong.
Okay. And yeah, I remember seeing the Chinese stuff in the middle
of
Detroit.
And you see a couple of the streets repeat themselves. Like, you see them run down the same street.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, they built that set.
Okay.
And there is, I know what it is because I remember I went down and looked at the set.
Yeah, we went down there. I think we were down there together for something.
So at one point, the Transformers and the humans are cornered by all these clone Transformers. That Stanley Tucci, here's the plot.
Oh, Stanley Tucci.
I'm trying to remember the plot if I could piece it together. Stanley Tucci is a billionaire inventor.
Ugh.
Unlike Marky Wahlberg, who's a genius inventor who works out of his barn in Texas. By the way, Texas is apparently a suburb of Lowell, Massachusetts.
Of course it is.
Because how many guys from Texas talk like this?
Oh, yeah. He's
right?
Talks like he's from South.
Hey, where'd your mother? Come on, Optimus Prime. And so it's like, what the fuck is this about? He's supposed to be in Texas. Anyway, he tinkers on stuff. Okay, so Kelsey Grammer is the head of the CIA, and they've declared war on all Transformers.
Right.
The Decepticons were apparently defeated in the last one, but now they're hunting down the Autobots, who are the good Transformers.
Okay.
Good, I know.
I am.
You're already out.
I'm out.
And Optimus Prime hides as a shitty old truck in Marky Mark's garage. T.J. Miller's in the movie.
Oh, of course.
Being the comedy relief, and here's a spoiler, gets killed about a half hour.
Oh, now you're ruining it for everybody. I know. All right, enough of this train.
And T.J. Miller, by the way, I said, hey, you get out of this thing in time.
he will not be in any future sequel, T.J. Miller. That's too bad. Yeah, so Transformers, on the five.
It's just really incoherent.
The Joel Radio five-finger scale of one, zero to five.
So there's the samurai robot. Then John Goodman is like the big fat marine, like he's like got a cigar, and I'm like, why does a robot have a cigar? And he's got like this,
he plays a robot, John Goodman.
Yeah, he's a Transformer.
Oh, God.
And there's like a beard, and the beard's made of like Coke cans and shit tied together and scrap metal, and it moves. And then another one of the Transformers has like a coat, and I'm like, why does he have a fucking leather
cold
coat?
And it's cold, and you're made out of metal.
I know.
It's
so dumb.
I've heard enough. Get out.
So
get
what
out.
I propose is that if you...
Is this going to make a nickel at the show? Is it really?
Oh. No. These fuckers clapped.
They clapped?
This thing didn't have two coherent scenes.
What is the matter with America?
Like literally sentences just drifted off into the space.
Soccer we don't get, but Transformers everybody loves.
Right. We can't understand the intricacies of the offside rule.
It's...
And instead... Okay.
Dummies need movies,
too. I offer this.
Too.
Here's what I say. If you buy a ticket to Transformers 4 with your own money, we'll offer you a free sterilization.
That's to make the deal right there.
That's right.
Well,
we will gouge you.
Honestly, it's...
Because you don't need to make any
more dumb people.
It's probably too late
because they got three other dumb fat kids already coming to the movie theater with them to see Transformers. It's not right. Get the fuck out. Look, I know we sound like elitist assholes, but
I am.
Fuck these Transformers. I don't give a shit. The worst movies in... It's probably... Look, and I've only seen the first one, but if you just look at the Metacritic ratings for these things, if you just look at these things, arguably the worst series of films ever made.
I mean, they're horrible.
I mean, is something like Underworld worse than that?
Well, that's
like
a possibility.
I mean, like the Resident Evil movies or like something, the Friday the 13th. I mean, is there a series that has
it's currently
worse
sitting at a,
ratings?
It's sitting at a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey, Jesus Christ. Ugh. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Hideous. All right. Let me talk about a better movie. This is a movie that everyone would like, I think, on our listenership. It's a little indie movie called Obvious Child with Jenny Slate, where she plays a female comedian making her way through the New York comedy scene.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good so far, right? You like Jenny Slate?
I would bang her.
You like a little...
Like a goddamn... like a garbage can in an alleyway. I was in a production of Stomp. All right.
You'd bang her like a Transformer taking a shit.
That's right.
It would sound like that. It would be metal on... Two Transformers fucking. That's what it would sound like. You would bang her so hard.
It would sound like two.
It would sound like Optimus Prime fucking another Transformer.
Look, she's
Bumblebee
a daughter of Abraham and Sarah. She's one of the people.
Yeah, she makes lots of jokes about being Jewish in this movie, and it's a good movie. I don't want to give away. Now, I think the trailer kind of gives away sort of the twist to this movie.
And the twist is she's a killer robot.
She's a scientist secretly, and she's building robots in her apartment.
She's building robots
in Brooklyn,
to defeat
Trick.
Trick Trick and the Goon Squad have to be defeated by robots.
Jenny Slate wants to do an open mic in Detroit, but Trick Trick prevents her from doing so. So she's blowing Trick Trick. I'm giving away the whole movie. No, so listen.
There's the solution. Girl, you can't come up in here and do this open mic. Oh, yeah? That's the end of the movie.
Can I perform Trick Trick? All right, listen. So Jenny Slate.
How about I hit the back of them tonsils?
But Trick Trick, I have jokes about women's panties.
The subjugation, the subjectification of women.
So anyway, so I described this to Corey because there is sort of a plot twist where it gets more serious. Because I described this to Corey, and you know, I've said this on the show, so I hope you guys can relate to this. Maybe you can't, but I said the first half of Obvious Child is like season one of Girls. It's fun. It's light. Everyone's having a good time. Second half was like season two of Girls, where no one's having fun, and it kind of it gets to be a little bit of a downer. You kind of wish you could just watch Jenny Slate and her friends goof around and have fun.
And the last 20 minutes is like Downton Abbey.
Yes. Then it turns into an episode of 24 where Jenny Slate has to defuse a bomb on the L train. No.
I'd watch that.
That'd be great. That'd be some great TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's real good. I think you'd like it. The way they dealt with comedy in this movie is very, you know, because sometimes you watch things like Punchline and, you know, the guys are in the dressing room and they've all got lockers.
You mean the locker room?
The locker room, but they, yeah, they, you know, go, and it's ridiculous.
Go, hey, kid, nice set. Go hit the showers.
Yeah. And, you know, funny people kind of got comedy right, although you had the thing where, you know, the big movie superstar takes the guy under his wing and, you know, that's unrealistic. But, you know, basically Jenny Slate is playing at, like, bar open mics for the most part. And that's where they show her, you know. And she's got her little gay buddy, Gabe, whatever his name is. She's the guy that she does.
Gabe. That's the gay guy, friend, Gabe.
Gabe. No, but she does some kind of show with this guy, Gabe. So it's like her legitimate, like, off-screen friend
as
well.
Partner, yes.
And, you know, Gabby Hoffman is her roommate. And, you know, Gabby Hoffman, another one of the chosen people that Corey
that
likes.
That one, though, is a little much. That's extreme.
Well,
that's like,
it's,
right?
It, like, she kind of looks like Jenny Slate, maybe just a,
well, the problem with Gabby Hoffman, she's like, okay, Jewish girls are very hot, and then they hit 35,
yeah,
and they turn into their grandfathers.
Right, the eyebrows get thick.
Well,
and
Gabby Hoffman's like accelerated in that process.
Okay, but
she's got the big, thick eyebrows.
She does.
If you want to see Gabby Hoffman, there's a film called Crystal Fairy and the Magic Cactus.
Oh, I never saw that.
Starring
one.
Gabby Hoffman and Michael Cera.
Okay.
And you'll see all of Gabby Hoffman.
Okay, you see, there you go. So
for
Gabby
extended
Hoffman,
period.
She was naked in Girls, too, so she's been naked in things. And then this guy, Jake Lacy, who was on the last season of The Office, the real hunky intern guy who got to bang Aaron. Like, he's in there as, like, her love interest, her new love interest.
That was a great subplot.
But, you know, it's a real good movie. Again, because they just have her at bar open mics, there's not this whole thing about, well, that's what a comedy club is like. You know, she's doing open mic, and sometimes she does well, and then when she's distracted by other things in her life, she's not doing well, and they show that, and so they show her bombing. There is a thing where, you know, David Cross has, like, a couple scenes where he's the veteran comic who just went out to L.A. to do a pilot, and he comes back, and, you know, they did this horrible, I mean, the one thing about it that's completely unrealistic when it comes to comedy, like, David Cross is, like, this guy in his 40s, this, you know, veteran comic, and he comes back and he's trying to bang the 20-year-old open micers, and that's complete fiction. That doesn't happen in real life. So that, I couldn't really go along with that.
Sure.
I mean, totally implausible. I mean, worse than Transformers in terms of fiction. I mean,
it's like Kelsey Grammer has a CIA team built to destroy the Transformers.
Oh, you mean the veteran, the experienced comic tries to bang the young hot chick on the comedy scene. That would never happen.
No.
So, you know, David Cross is in it for 2 seconds. You know, it's more of a cameo, but he's in there. It's a pretty good movie. It's an indie. You got to look for it and probably at your art house. If not, it'll probably be on DVD and streaming and all that
Netflix
stuff.
Netflix and Amazon
too long.
Prime.
It's a funny movie, though. Jenny Slate's real good in it, and it's nice because she's been doing a lot of interviews, and, you know, she famously, like, said the F word. Fuck, I guess I can. I don't.
Why are you saying the F word?
Because it's the F word, because that's the way it was described in every article and interview. In her very first sketch that she was ever on SNL. And it was kind of like she was not long for that show because she, you know.
They kept her on for the whole season.
Well, she made it through the season, but they. And she actually did some characters people remember. But Jenny Slate was on Bored to Death. She's been on all those HBO shows. She's been on Girls.
She rebounded
and
from SNL.
So she's been doing all these little character roles, and now she's finally got a really funny starring role, so it's good. Obvious Child, I recommend it. Go see it. It's
Meanwhile, Michaela Watkins, who was on SNL, is like every best friend in like romantic comedy.
Oh.
Like, she's like a she's always in the background.
Who was she?
She was on one season of SNL.
Oh, okay.
She did a update character whose catchphrase was "Bitch, please."
I don't even know if I know.
Yeah.
I don't watch a ton of SNL, so I can't. I'm not up to date on that. So that was real good. Just a couple other things. Streaming on TV, if you are now on video, The Grand Budapest Hotel is very good. I finally got to see that.
And
it's
available on Blu-ray.
It's available on Blu-ray. Yeah, I watched it on demand the other night. Very funny. I'm not a huge Wes Anderson guy, and I think in one sense this movie is the most Wes Anderson movie in a way, but at the same time, it has like an old-timey caper feel to it,
yes,
which is pretty entertaining. And some good – Ralph Fiennes is fantastic in this. A lot of the guys you'll see in the commercial or the trailer or the poster for this, those guys are literally on screen sometimes for – like Owen Wilson might be on screen for 10 seconds. You know, Jason Schwartzman might be on screen.
There's a bunch of guys who show up
might be on
cameos.
Screen for 10 seconds. Bill Murray's got, you know, less than 5 minutes of screen time. So some of these guys, you don't see them all that much, you know. But, you know, you see it's mostly Ralph Fiennes and this guy who plays the lobby boy, this Indian kid, who was really great in it, too. So it's a good movie. Go get that.
You get a little bit of
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Harvey
cool
Keitel.
Movie. Yeah, a little bit of Harvey Keitel.
A little bit
of Jeff
Goldblum.
Yeah, I mean these guys have. There's a ton of guys. Adrian Brody, Willem Dafoe. They all get some good scenes. It's a great movie.
It really is kind of a. I was a little down on Moonrise Kingdom, which a lot of people
liked.
I was a little bored with.
Well, that movie almost tried to be this because it was sort of this, you know, police looking for somebody, but it was like runaway kids and. It kind of didn't work for me.
And then there's Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Yeah, I never
which,
saw that, yeah.
Actually, that was okay. It was Darjeeling Limited.
Darjeeling, that was too much.
Well, what's good about this one is he originally made movies about weirdos in a regular world, like Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
Then the world started getting weirder.
Yeah.
And now he's just decided instead of having weirdos be in the, it's just going to be the world.
The world is
the entire world is his in frame.
He sort of has a universe.
And this is the most successful at putting the whole story inside the Wes Anderson.
Oh yeah, it's
you know everything is designed every frame.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, they did this weird thing, and if you watch it at
They go up on the mountains, and they're all backdrops, and they're
right. You see, it's little models and stuff. It's pretty cool.
So it's all this little Tinker Toy universe.
Yeah, and it's pretty neat. It's a good movie. You know, again,
it's funny too.
It is. It's very funny, and it's you know, I mean, I've talked to many people who you wouldn't think would like a Wes Anderson movie or wouldn't even know it's a Wes Anderson movie, and they all said it was good, too. So, Grand Budapest Hotel is something to watch. Also, Tim's Vermeer you can now see at home. So if you have...
All right, there you go.
You want to watch... That's the Penn & Teller documentary about this guy. I think I did a review on the show when I saw it in the theater, but this guy who invented the video toaster, Tim, I forget what his last name is, but Tim decides he's going to try to copy Vermeer's techniques, and it's this wild story that's pretty amazing. You know, it's funny. Documentaries about art are not,
they do
usually
as well
good.
As art does.
But then you get Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Sure.
You get something like Tim's Vermeer. Tim Vermeer, almost very scientific in its methodology, but it does have like a cliffhanger. Can he actually duplicate this Vermeer? You want to see the finished product, and it's pretty amazing. So go see Tim's Vermeer. It's great, too. That's at home. You don't really you see Penn and Teller, but they're not like it's not all about them. It's really about this guy Tim. But they did write and produce the movie and stuff, so it's real good. So Tim's Vermeer is recommended as well. I also saw a documentary on the Cowsills. This has been out for probably a year, but that's on cable now. I think I saw it on the movie channel on my cable. If you don't know who the Cowsills were, do you want to hear some Cowsills, Corey?
Sure, why
you
not?
A little Cowsills?
Sure.
Let's get a little Cowsills for you.
Weren't they the opening act for Trick Trick?
Yes, they were banned from playing by Trick Trick. It was his dad. It was Trick Trick's dad who actually did it.
Oh, Track Track.
Track Track, yes, Track Track. Thanks for saving me on that one. Mm. I was thinking about what Trick Trick
treat
dad,
treat.
Yeah, something
his,
like that.
His mama treat treat.
Yeah, exactly. And so he... So the Cowsills were the inspiration for the
Partridge Family.
Yeah. And they actually, and it's in, because, what's her name? Shirley Jones is actually in this movie.
Well, how did they get her?
Well, you know.
I mean, it's so hard to get Shirley
But it's
Jones.
One of these guys, you know, but they were a family. They were a bunch of sons, and then later the sister and the sister. It was a bunch of brothers, and then later the sister and the mom joined the Cowsills, and the dad was like this domineering guy, and
this is so sick.
This is their famous 60s song, "The Rain, the Park, and Other Things." The Cowsills. She could make me happy,
happy, happy.
Flowers in her hair. This is a good tune, though. It's a good 60s. Flowers everywhere. So anyway, that's the Cowsills. And, you know, it's got everything, like, it's got everything a good, like, rock and roll story needs. You know, they go broke, members get kicked out, you know, the manager rips them off, you know, band members die. But what's great is that, you know, what's even more tragic is that, you know, they're all family. That's what's, you know, the dad is the manager, the brothers are feuding with each other. You know, the brothers
like
are on drugs.
The Beach Boys. I mean,
yeah,
the Wilsons
it is.
Were...
And they talk a lot about the Beach Boys. This was their other big the other big Cowsills hit. If you, they had a couple ones. I think there was some religious allegory to their thing, but to their shtick that they didn't really talk about in the movie too much. I'm trying to get to the chorus of this because it's great. Is a fry. But they did the pop version of the song Hair.
I'm that's hairy, what this is. High and low.
And they were like this, considered this kind of Christian group. And Hair was this hippie play musical. And Norman Lear said, "You guys should do this as a cover. It'd be funny."
It's not for
And it ended
life.
Up, give me the goddamn chorus. Come on, get to the fucking point. For the fleas in my hair. Everyone knows this song, right? A home for the fleas. And this is them. This is a pretty famous tune. I'm just smokers. There ain't no words for the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of my hair. Grow it, show it. Long as I can. Yeah, Hair.
What's the last, I mean, Hanson was the last, like, family band?
Well, Kings of Leon.
I guess
That's three brothers and a cousin. Yeah. So that's pretty. That's a
kinda
family
like the
band.
Beach Boys.
Yeah, Beach Boys, Bee Gees were family band. You know, yeah. there's been Oasis had brothers.
Hanson's the most recent.
AC/DC's got brothers. Van Halen's got brothers. But yeah, the Cowsills. I mean, they were like, and you know, there's one Cowsill brother who like couldn't play music, so he ended up joining the army. And so, it's a really great story. And the one brother, Bob, is the guy who kind of made this movie with the help of some people. So he goes around interviewing all these people. And, you know, there's famous producers that they worked with, and they wrote a lot of their songs. But they were pretty talented. You know, they show the one brother, Bill, who got kicked out of the band. And they're like, well, he was our Brian Wilson. And when you hear this guy sing and play, even like in the 80s, guy's amazing. And had a great voice, had a, you know, was a lead singer. And it all went tits up for the Cowsills, and it's a pretty good story.
Well, when is the documentary about the Shags?
I'm not even sure who the Shags
are. Oh, the Shags were like, they were another family band, but they were very primitive. Oh,
okay.
And so people think it's kind of a proto-punk. They couldn't really play. They were three girls.
Oh, okay.
And they're kind of sloppy.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway.
All right, well, that's the Cowsills if you like.
We're on the topic of 60s pop craft.
Sure.
A bittersweet happy trails and farewell and adieu to Jerry Goffin.
Yeah, Jerry Goffin. Let me find some Goffin and King.
Yeah, pull up some Goffin and King. Yeah. Jerry Goffin was married to Carole King.
Yeah.
And they were a songwriting, one of the great songwriting duos of all time. I mean, pretty indisputable.
Can you pull up the list of stuff they did?
One Fine Day.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get to
Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, Take Good Care of My Baby.
Yeah, I'm trying to
the
get
Locomotion.
Well, this is one of my favorite Animal songs. And this was a little bit later in the 60s, but this is Animals, Don't Bring Me Down. I mean, this is tremendous. They did a lot of stuff with the Monkees, a lot of the great stuff.
Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Yeah. I think we're only getting this in mono because of the way I've got my phone hooked up to the thing. So that might be why it sounds a little weird on your end.
Is it a mono track?
No, I think it's stereo, but I think we're only pulling one channel.
You complain and criticize. I'm feel I'm nothing.
It's one of the great rock songs ever.
Not really representative of their.
Well, they did more pop, but they also wrote for rock band. Because my best just ain't. I gotta hear you at least get to the chorus of this. And girl, I want to provide for you. And do all the things that you want me to. But oh, oh no, don't bring me down. It's a great song. Great song.
Were the animals underrated, or were they rated?
That's the come on, Corey, play that piano. It's great, though. Right? I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, it is interesting, you know, and I watch a lot of these documentaries. It's funny that, like, you know, it's funny that, like, people would look at that and go, well, that was Motown, but it really wasn't. And it's funny how much stuff people kind of think right. is Motown. Like, Aretha Franklin was not Motown. A lot of people don't realize that. No. Aretha Franklin was on Atlantic.
Smoking the Miracles.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder.
Temptations, Four Tops. Yeah.
Supremes.
But it's funny that,
you
know.
That's people, and yeah. Marvin Gaye and Tammy
right,
Terrell.
But then, you know, there's the Spectre stuff, which right. some people lump well, in, and there's stuff that people
In honor of Jerry Goffin the other day, yeah. I just was like, what do I put in Pandora? So I just put the Ronettes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a bunch of these songs. Yeah, I got yeah, One
yeah.
Fine Day.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, yeah. you want to just enjoy, just right. put the Ronettes into your Pandora,
yeah.
and you'll hear all this stuff.
Yeah,
this
there's
great,
a lot,
like,
a lot of
early 60s girl groups, and it also played, like, Don't Worry, Baby,
yeah.
you know. So I love that stuff. I'm a big Beach Boys, Slappy, and all that.
Right.
All that
I listen to. I've been listening to Northern Soul. Do you know what Northern Soul
yes.
is?
Yes.
Northern Soul is like 60. It's like
the Bee Gees went from psychedelia into Northern
well,
Soul,
Northern,
and then they went into disco.
Northern Soul is generally it's like R&B and soul records from Philadelphia and Detroit that were not big hits. So it's like Motown stuff
right.
that was not like. Big, like, you know, you think about the all that stuff we mentioned, the Four Tops, because none of that stuff is considered Northern Soul. It's the more obscure, like 45s and stuff that were all played in these English discos in Northern England.
Right.
And this was the big one. This one I'm listening to a lot because this is actually a Motown collection of Northern Soul. This is called Do I Love You? Indeed I Do by Frank Wilson. And it's fantastic. And you just listen to it, you're like, oh, I get why people like this. Again, I think this is a stereo track, and we're only hearing. But I mean, listen to this. I mean, that's the classic, you know. Yeah, and it's like this is, you know. Now, this actually was on like one. Of, I don't know if it was on Motown or it was one of the affiliated labels. You know, like Tamla or one of those.
Yeah,
yeah. So I recommend if you get some Northern Soul compilations, those are real good. It's a lot of stuff you've maybe haven't heard of the artist, but a lot of it was, you know, Holland, Dozier Holland songwriting and stuff. So a lot of the classic
and then
Motown
English
elements.
Bands would kind of
right,
copy
and they
this.
Were all inspired by this. You
like,
know,
You Don't Know What It's Like by the
oh
the
Simply
Bee Gees.
Red, yeah, Simply Red, and all those bands were all Northern
right,
Soul.
Right.
Wannabe.
In the '60s and then
yeah.
later, yeah. So.
And then, like, because even like when they're talking, I read this biography about the Stone Roses, who weren't doing Northern Soul, but they all met going to Northern Soul clubs as teenagers. So it's very interesting. If you like that kind of '60s stuff, check out some Northern Soul. I mean, I could do music all day. I mean, do you give a shit about that? Do you want to say goodnight, or do, can I play? Can I
play another tune?
Can I play some? All right, here's. I'm gonna play something, Corey. I'm going to play Mystery Record with Corey Hall. How's that?
Oh.
Can Corey Hall guess?
But I really do look into Goffin and King.
Yeah, Goffin and King is great, yeah.
There was the Brill Building in New York where
yeah.
all these songwriters
with Tin
were.
Tin Pan Alley, yeah.
And they turned out just some of the best yeah. stuff ever.
All right, so I'm going to play you a song, and I want you to guess the artist.
Okay.
I'll tell you the name of the song. As you hear it, mm-hmm. and then you tell me who the and I don't, you know, look, I'm trying to fool you with this, but if you know who this is, go ahead and say it. But I've been listening to this lately. Listen to this. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song called Night Train. That was kind
Booker
of a standard. It was kind of a standard, and they probably did it, and James Brown did it as well. But this guy had a hit with this. He was in a very big band at one point. Great song, though, right? I mean, classic Hammond organ and sax and everything. Should be the theme to the Joel Radio Show, right?
I wish I could play.
Yeah. Oh, you can. Just take your, do your fingers like that. That's exactly what you do. Any guesses on this? It's kind of an
instrument. I don't know. I mean, it's an instrument.
Like I said, he was in a very big band at one point. A very big band. He was in the biggest band of the 60s at one point.
I have no idea.
This is Jimmy Nickel and the Shubdubs. Jimmy Nickel, who filled in for Ringo Starr for 2 weeks in 1964. And what I didn't realize, I'm reading this book about him called The Beatle Who Vanished, is that, you know, they gave him all, he was recording all these, like, instrumentals, and they got popular because he was in the Beatles for 2 weeks when Ringo had tonsillitis. And I was like, well, let me see if these are on my Google Play Music. And sure enough, there's a bunch of Jimmy Nickel songs on here. They're on, like, 60s pop instrumental compilations.
Maybe that's our new outro music.
It's pretty good, right? So Jimmy Nickel and the Shubdubs was briefly a Beatle.
I don't think the Shubdubs are coming. So
well, I know, and that's
so
the,
maybe that's our new outro.
That's the story of the Beatles who vanished. Is I'm not sure what happened to Jimmy Nickel. I got to finish the book, but I guess he's no one's interviewed him in like 30 years. Or
you know, it's
years.
Weird. I met Pete Best, and he's out still touring and living off the
but
whole.
That's
shtick.
The thing. This Jimmy Nickel guy who filled in for Ringo. He was a studio drummer. He was like Georgie Fame and his Famous Flames or whatever the name of that band was, and like he just kind of. Disappeared, and you know, he could be doing Beatle conventions. He could be doing, you know,
maybe it wasn't his stuff. Thing. Maybe he did it.
I gotta finish the goddamn book.
Maybe it's not a happy memory.
Yeah,
maybe he was annoyed by the whole process.
Because where I'm at now, it's like where I'm at now in the book. Ringo is coming back tomorrow, either in Australia. He's playing his final show with the Beatles tonight, and he's sort of angling like he's kind of like
what was it like 2 weeks? Or
it was 2 weeks. He did like Belgium, Holland. Hong Kong, and then like the first date in Australia, and then Ringo flew to Australia, and he was out at that point. But he was sort of angling, like the press would go, like at first he was real, you know, gracious about it, and then like when he knew his time was up, like somebody interviewed him, they're like, "So what do you think of Ringo as a player?" And he goes, "I don't really think he can keep time very well, you know." So he sort of starts to get a little dark where he really really wants to be the permanent drummer in the Beatles.
Well,
and you know, obviously as we know, that doesn't happen, and so. The guy ended up being a recluse. So it's a pretty great story. I'm still finishing that book.
All right.
That's one of his songs, but that's a great song. The drumming, I mean, listen back to it. The
sounds great. I mean,
great, yeah.
Well, when you hear
a
this,
lot
like,
of stuff sounds like that from that era.
But the musicians were really good back then.
Yeah, they were really good.
And studio guys, the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Those
guys in Muscle Shoals. I forget that. If you see that documentary, which is on Netflix.
What was it, the Funk Brothers?
The Funk Brothers and the Wrecking Crew, yeah. This is just another Jimmy Nickel song. This is... Husky.
I feel like some spy work has been right.
Well, it's like you want to see people dancing, like, you know, like.
This brings up two things in my mind. Like, spies, like racing cars.
Yeah.
Husky.
Oh. Or, like, guys in big, like, banana split suits.
Yeah.
Riding motorized tricycles. That's what I
think. Well, this reminds me
of Goldie Hawn with painting.
Yeah, that's what I see more of that. Like Blow Up or something, you know. Like,
you know what I'm talking about, like banana splits.
Yeah.
They're racing around on go-karts.
Well, I see like lava lamps and, you know. Anyway, Disco Ball. So anyway, that's a little bit of... I could do music, you know, I'm listening to all day. I could do a whole
60s,
show.
The 60s, it really does go deeper than like there's always some new... thing to discuss. I'm always seeing some movie I've never seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm always finding.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'd never seen this. The original version of The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, okay.
The French version.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
1959.
Is that one that's from? Yeah.
It's called like Plein Soleil.
Yeah.
And it's Alain Delon.
Okay.
Like early, like super handsome Alain Delon. That's great.
You know what you can watch? I believe it's on Netflix. I think it might be on Amazon for sure, but the original House of Cards.
Okay.
The British House of Cards is on there.
And it's always good to... I always like to see, you know, different versions.
A miniseries, yeah.
I like to see alternate versions of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, different takes of shows and movies and stuff. So that's that there. There's always some corner of the 60s or the 50s that I'm finding.
Yeah, there's always great stuff. I mean, I've been listening to Ennio Morricone. I got a list of shit I could play for you. But
1984, not so much. But anyway,
well, the 80s, their 80s had their own stuff.
The, God, 80s. The 80s, man.
The 80s had their own bullshit, and you know, I mean, the 80s, you know, people will look back at it, but again, it's like anything else. You'll look back on some decade and find the best stuff. And that's what you remember in the shit. Because people go like, well, the 90s were this great decade. We had Nirvana and we had Pearl Jam and all these bands broke out from the underground. And it's like, yeah, and then you had Third Eye Blind and you had fucking Blues Traveler and you had all this garbage.
I'll tell you that right now. I know where you can find it.
One Hit Wonders.
If you have satellite radio.
Yeah. Go
to the channel's called Lithium.
Yes.
And they'll play like, you know, they'll play like a great song. They'll play like Sonic Youth 100% or something, and you go, oh, cool.
Yeah.
The next track they play will be The Offspring.
Right. Spin Doctors is up next.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you just go,
The one, okay, there's two bands.
Bare Naked Ladies.
There's two bands that I invariably turn the channel on every time.
I can pick them.
When Wheel of Fortune comes on my TV, like sometimes I'll be watching like the NBC News,
right,
and then it goes Wheel of Fortune, and I got to click that shit off, right?
Yeah.
This, every time I hit the button when these come on. Two 90s bands.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to, boy, Collective Soul. Bow!
Oh, that's a good one.
No, didn't get it. Okay, let me try.
That's good.
I know a lot of, okay, Gin Blossoms.
Another excellent
Damn it,
choice.
Those are excellent choices. Bare Naked Ladies.
I might listen to one of those songs.
If I had $1 million, you might listen.
Sure.
That's a good song. Okay.
Lying in bed like Brian Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those are good.
Two very big popular bands.
Oh, there were those bands that sounded like Eddie Vedder. Corey's nodding his head.
Now you're in the vicinity.
Nickelback. No, Nickelback was maybe the 2000s.
Yeah,
No, the band before that. Oh, fuck. I can't remember
their
name.
And I hate them still.
No, I know the one you're talking. I know the guy. I can Scott Stapp. What was the name of his band? That's the band. I got
Creed
it. Right? Creed.
Is bad.
Creed, yes, Creed.
No, the bands I'm thinking of.
No, I didn't get it.
No. Oh. I'm thinking of Bush.
Okay.
Got a machine hair. Real out around.
But Bush. Okay.
I hate Bush.
I thought Bush was kind of doing Nirvana. The vocals were bad, but I thought
he's
musically
doing a very Eddie Vedder-y kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And Live.
Live. I can't get what you're saying about Live.
And Stone Temple Pilots. I'm also pretty.
I like some Stone Temple Pilots.
I tell you what, when Stone Temple Pilots came out, we all went, "This is a fugazi." We all
But they won me over because they were a ripoff of Pearl Jam at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then they did make some good records.
I really thought at the time, and maybe they're not that bad, but at the time I went, oh, these guys are doing Alice in Chains. They seem like they were copying.
I'm gonna find a good Stone Temple Pilots song right now. So give me 2 seconds.
Here comes Bow Grader. Half time
that's,
to sound
okay.
Sound like Nirvana.
No, that's
there it is.
That's Flush.
Bow.
But I can find a good Stone Temple Pilots. And that there was this one, and then there's Do I got to hit the vocal on this before I move along? All right, I'll let this go to the vocal.
How many bars?
I can guess that shitty 90s song in 2 notes. There's that one, and then there's this other shitty one that I think we're both on there. This is Sex Type Thing. This is the one that really people thought was Alice in Chains.
I am.
If Flush was the Pearl Jam. But you don't remember these? This was like from a later record. I forget which record this is. I can look this up on here. You don't remember this? This was kind of good. This is like later. They moved away.
Well, this
they
sounds like Sonic Youth.
It does, but they moved. Okay, so they ripped off better bands.
They ripped off somebody else.
Yeah. See, I could get into this.
Well, it's just
get to the chorus before I fail. That's a good song, Big Bang Baby. And then this was on the same record, I think. Maybe this is their greatest hit. You ever tripping on a hole in a paper heart? That's a pretty good song. I mean,
I was in the pit for this.
You're breaking the story. Corey's gonna stage dive. This one no good though. This one.
Did you ever stage dive?
Oh no. So this is the one you hate. This is the one that makes you.
Whoa.
So I think I proved there's a couple listenable.
Yeah, they're not as bad. The Bush makes me want to die every time.
Sorry.
That actually sounds not bad. Look, I'm noticing grunge is making a little bit of a comeback.
Sure.
In the, like, there was some band I saw on Letterman, and they were all wearing flannels, and it sounded a little grungy. And I'm like, oh, sure. That they're going to discover this shit. My problem with that Lithium channel is much like any radio.
What's got the latest? Let's take you back to 1995. It's Bush with Machine Head here on Joel Radio.
Yeah, Machine Head.
By the way, if you go into Bush on Google Play Music, it says, you know, related artists or artists you might like. The other choices are Live, Stone Temple Pilots, Fuel, and Candlebox. How about a little Candlebox? Let's take everyone back to... come on, Corey.
But, like, okay.
Corey, get out your lighter for this one. This one we need... Speaking of guys who sounded like Eddie Vedder, you really can't leave out Candlebox in that equation.
Now make better. Pull these guys up.
No, those guys are the real deal.
That's what I'm saying. Well, okay, but like, what frustrates me is that for every Stone Temple Pilots and Bush and Live song of the year and the Offspring, you'll never hear that these guys that you're going to pull.
Probably not. But you lived it anyway,
so maybe. God damn. We live in the 90s.
Well, then yeah, right. Hey, Corey's saying this is the real deal.
This is the shit.
The originator of the
hear
song.
This,
yeah,
right?
It's for Screaming Street.
Wow, look at that waveform.
I'm gonna get a little more big. Did you hear the distant cry? Back Mark Lanigan, I leave over. Although it's funny, when I go through Screaming Freeze's discography, I can't find a lot of songs I know in it, but yeah, they were... Right, a little less hysterical vocal, a little more reserved, you know, it's like... Those other bands just took this sound and, like, you know, turned it up to 11, man, you know, and made it. I can pull up something else. Give me one.
Mudhoney. How about a little Mudhoney?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm gonna hold on. I got a specific Mudhoney.
I love this Screaming Tree.
Yeah, this is a good song. But I like, there's a particular. This is my particular Mudhoney. They used to play this at the bar. We used to go dance, and this was like a big guys would mosh to this. Come on, Corey. Let's go. Let's take our shirts off. Beat the shit out of each other. Let's go. Come on. Spot on you, motherfucker. Come on. They're breaking the board. got to hear a little Mark Arm, though. You got to hear a little bit. A lot of Kurt Cobain took a lot of his vocal style from Mark Arm here in Bud Honey. All right, we're redeeming ourselves for playing Bush and that other dumb shit now. That's a great song. I
suppose some outsiders would probably not see much of the difference between those.
No?
They should. Ooh.
But would they enjoy some shopping. Dinosaur Jr.? Yeah.
Little DJ.
Yeah.
Oh, greatest hits of the 90s.
Joel Radio bringing you the best shopping. Of the 90s. Right. Yeah.
Oh, there's no going back.
They're still touring. Original lineup. Dinosaur Jr. You go see them now. They opened. They were on the bill with the Replacements at the Riot Fest.
Saw them in Lala a couple years ago with Lou Barlow.
Yeah, that, I think it's the original, or the original, but
Dinosaur.
The famous lineup of Dinosaur. Here's some a little more obscure, but still good. You remember this? You know what this is? Another real, authentic grunge. You know what this is? So that's English grunge.
Ned's Atomic Dust?
No, no, it's not. It's a little later than that. This is Swerve Driver with Duel. This is pretty big. They had a couple big records, Swerve Driver, but.
Say it's starting to get into shoegaze.
Creation Records, yeah,
they were on Creation,
but they were sort of the, you know, they were like an English band that was influenced by the American bands and put it into their, you know,
Swerve Driver. I saw Swerve Driver.
Yeah, they were good, but again, they had like two records that anyone cared about, and they disappeared. But the Creation Records documentary is on Netflix. That's real good. I watched that too.
All right,
one more.
This became a music show.
Can I do one more? Because these guys underrated. Underrated, never really made it like the other guys, but this is a good record too. This is it. I believe this is the VV album. Archers of Loaves. Look at that. That's Fabrico by the Archers of Loaves. That's a good one.
Yeah. All our nation's airports.
Yeah, that's another one. Well, this is from VV. This is 1995.
Trying to remember what their other albums were.
I'll start playing Pavement, and we'll never get the fuck out of here. So let's just wrap this show up. I think we've done enough. We've talked about enough of. I mean, look,
we'll do 90s.
I'll play more Gilbert
music.
Podcast if you want. I'll play more.
Well, we've really covered a lot of bases.
We have. I mean, who takes you from F Troop to Swerve Driver?
Oh man.
To Transformers.
Maybe a little Built to Spill in here while you're at it.
You know what? I don't have any. I have to type it in. It's
all
enough.
Right. Sorry.
It's enough show. It's enough, I say.
All right.
Have you heard enough, Gilbert?
How about some Polvo? All right. Well, we're doing it.
We're going. We're out of here.
All right.
But I want to thank Corey for joining me, as always. Corey Hall. Find him at Metro Times. Fox 2, you on there still?
I'll be on there tomorrow.
Good, oh good. So people have missed it on there.
The wonderful Transformers.
I think you can get Fox 2 if you go to the website.
You can get the links. The links
are
there.
You can watch.
The segment's called Real Reviews.
Real Reviews.
You can look it up on the Fox 2.
You can watch Corey. You can watch Corey. You don't have to just listen to him anymore.
You can see my chubby
ass. You can see Corey's bald head gleaming right
on. Often with Lee Thomas and sometimes with confused weather women.
Oh, God.
And other people.
You don't need to bury them.
No, I'm saying sometimes just somebody does the segment and they've never seen the movies.
They don't know the movies and they don't care. Go catch Corey on that. Of course, Joel Radio on Twitter at Joel Radio Show. You can like Joel Radio on Facebook. Download the show at iTunes, review it there, get it on Stitcher. I think I'm going to, I was supposed to do the announcement today, but the live podcast, which I know you've all loved, the live stand-up shows, I'm searching for a new venue. So if anyone knows of a venue in the Metro Detroit area where I can host my comedy show and record it for the listeners, hit me up at Joel Radio Show on Twitter or on Facebook. You can even leave a comment on the front page of Joel Radio.
Icky Metal.
Icky Metal was a good Archers of Lofeld.
There you go.
So yeah, go ahead and leave comments on the front page of Joel Radio. I never read those on the air, but I want to thank all the guys who leave those, because people do. And hopefully new live radio shows by September, I think. New live podcast kind of deals, stand-up shows. So I enjoyed doing those. And I know you guys enjoyed listening, so those are coming soon. But we're going to say goodnight for this week. Go USA. Go World Cup.
Go, go.
Fuck Belgium. I'm going to find a reason to hate Belgium in the next 5 days.
They've been so good to me with their beers and their delicious waffles.
I'm sure I can find something. I'm sure they stashed art for Hitler or something. They did something bad. So we'll say fuck Belgium in the future. But thank you for listening. Don't fuck you. We love you, our Joel Radio listeners. Good night from Joel and Corey.
Arrivederci, Italy.
Good night. Bye.